Hey folks, welcome to Crippled System, episode 163, where we talk about all of the things about Mark III and how Rhett's amazing and Legion blows ass.
Agreed.
I'm Jeremy, or Valiant418 on the forum.
I am Ethan, or Strongest Elk on the forum.
Really? That's your name?
Yep.
Also known as the Kirkland guy from MomCon.
Sadly, that is actually my name at conventions.
I'm Brian, filling in as Andy right now.
Well, you have a beard. He has a beard. Same thing.
Yeah, that means you must be a sound technician. That's how that works.
Exactly. Like, I turn the computer on and magic comes out.
By the transitive property.
I'm Brian, version one. Carnage for you everywhere else.
You'll be on the ADR list.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
I'm Amanda, not on the forums.
Smart choice.
I'm too good for everyone.
You lurk. Are you not on there at all, or do you just lurk in your nick?
I lurk occasionally, but I'm actually not on the forums. I don't have a handle there.
Then what do you do when you're angry and just want to vent your spleen at people you don't know? Because that's what I use the
Facebook.
Forum for.
I use other forums. I'm not familiar with forums.
No, I lost my shit about the Liz Healer on the Muse forum, and I think also the main boards. I was super angry.
But she's so good.
Armor fucking 11.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So angry.
Hey, Pingers have 11. They're amazing, so.
They're a unit, and they probably don't cost 10 times what she does.
They're 7 points.
Okay, so that's two of her. Somebody on the forum said, but Marketh's that low. I went and looked at Marketh. The fuck he is. He's armor 12, and he can be up to an armor 15. So that person can eat a dick.
Yeah, he could be up to 15. He'll be at 12. He'll die.
Does he never have souls, ever?
Don't be worried. Marketh and Mark II, you wanted in 80% of your lists. Now you want him in maybe 20% of your lists. He'll have a home. It's just...
Any caster that has mortality seems like a good choice for him still.
Well, because it's not upkeep. Yeah, exactly.
It's not an upkeep.
Scorn has a lot of upkeeps, which is great. And Scorn has a lot of caster range self, which you can't. So but he has this collecting soul ability to help with the upkeeps. You just gotta find a home for him.
Yeah, the upkeeps are not, like, I don't think Marketh's terrible. I think 6 points is a little rough.
Yeah.
I think that was hard.
He'll find some homes, but he's definitely not the high demand item he used to be.
No. And to be fair, if the list healer really did have Ancient Shroud, I would take two in every list and then think about what caster to add. Yeah, like, exactly. She would be that good.
Yeah.
Especially when she was spoiled with armor 13 with Ancient Shroud.
Yes.
And my erection just wouldn't go away.
Hey, you know what? She can have Ancient Shroud if, like, Morgul 2 can have Ancient Shroud.
It'd almost be worth it.
They'll give a cast Blind of Ancient Shroud someday with, like, 4 hit
Blind
points.
Is shakeable. It'll be fine.
So how do we want to approach Mark III? Do we want to just talk about factions or general concepts of what we read?
I think we should start with general concepts.
Yeah, with the rules. Yeah, the rules, and then we can go around and say,
so
like...
So Brian's going to read the entire War Machine Prime. He has it sitting in front of him, so that'll be fine. So you get started. Call me in 3 hours.
We do have the book here. Amanda was at Lock and Load for 6 hours.
Yeah, six
four of which were in line.
It was actually a really great event. The other, like, 2 hours, I was looking for people that I knew, which... were few and far between.
On the bright side, you only had to waste about 30 seconds of your life in the keynote.
I
am pretty jealous about that.
We keep bringing this up, and I've actually stopped them from talking because I have very different feelings about the keynote as someone who was in the room waiting to get my stuff.
Yeah, everyone there didn't give... Everyone gave
I
zero
understand.
Fucks. And to be fair, Privateer Press did not do a lot online saying everyone should watch this. There was very little.
They did not, but...
There wasn't much of an effort. I mean...
They've spent years making the keynote a big thing, and the reason people used to go to, was it a TempleCon in Rhode Island?
TempleCon's...
Was for the keynote. And this year, they were like, you know what? We want that to be at our event, so we understand the keynote's this amazing, wonderful thing that the entire community watches on the internet. Great. Hold your horses. We're going to do it at Lock and Load. And then Lock and Load came, and they went...
15 minutes of joy, and it was like they had such a great opportunity to talk about all the changes, like, this is our vision for the game, this is what we did, but it seems like all the leaks just took the wind out of their sails, and they're like, we don't care.
I don't even know that it was the leaks, like, there are things they could
have
talked about.
They were so pissed about, like, the insider quality went to shit after those leaks, like, the Circle one, I felt nothing involved in that, the Signar one, I felt nothing
from
them.
Well, the problem was, I think, and I'm not trying to, like, speak for Privateer Press, but if I were in their position, all of the insiders that happened post the leaks felt very much like they were being attacked for things that people had found. And they had a great answer prior to the leaks where they just said, you haven't seen the whole picture, just wait till you see it. But they couldn't say that anymore. And we were like, well, we've seen the whole picture, and Kara Sloan can sure as fuck shoot my guys on the top of one, and that's a problem. And they were like, well, but we're okay with it, I guess?
It's mathematically possible, but not probable. We tried it.
Except the one person I saw that did the math and was like, don't worry, it's not likely to be possible, also said that it's a 30% chance against most casters, which, spoiler alert, is fucking possible as someone who plays rad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yep. That's being a rad. It's being a rad to be even a more powerful feat, but not a top one.
I think the game does not need anything that can shoot you on top of one.
Correct. I think everyone can agree on
excellent.
That.
Excellent. I don't know that Kara Sloan needed to be buffed as a fuck you to the community, but it's fine. At least she can't shoot you a top of one.
Well, it's also really easy to be, like, Privateer Press kind of got put under a microscope mm-hmm. after those leaks. Like, yeah. It really did set a bad stage for how things were going to flow for them later. So there are going to be mistakes. And the most we can do is just hope that they get fixed.
Yeah.
And we're also leaving, like, a big legacy behind. Like, MK2 is, like, the golden age of War Machine up to that point.
And they had done, like, I was frustrated enough with Mark II that I stopped playing at the very end. I haven't played since pretty much last November. And I am stoked and excited about Mark III. I don't want in any way it to sound like I'm poo-pooing Mark III or I'm saying Mark III is going to be terrible, because I'm not. I am thrilled. Even if I didn't already own Rhett, which obviously is amazing for me right now, I would still be stoked about Mark III. Yeah. If my only faction were Legion, my joy would be tempered. But it's not, so it's fine.
Well, not to jump ahead, but
you just sold off your Kricks.
I'm getting rid of my mercs and my minions. Want just one faction. And let's say in X years, I said, you know what, I'm done with Scorn. I would only still go to one faction. I just want to own one faction. That's a personal choice. Has nothing to do against a game. But as playing just a horse faction, I definitely have to look at the game a lot differently because it's radically different to me. I mean, for hordes across the board, fury management's changed, and that's fine. Yep. It had to be changed. But then on top of it, for Scorn, we had the best fury management, so now we have to adjust with that. And then a lot of our beasts lost a fury.
So I would argue that you were tied with Legion for best, and we also took it on the chin pretty hard.
Did you lose?
We have the same rule, only instead of having a unit that can only add or remove one, we have a solo that can only add or remove one.
There was a discussion. I don't know if...
Yeah, but they can still force at least.
Scorn might be the only faction, and I haven't looked at everything yet, so maybe there's one or two others, that has zero ability for free charge with their beast. Like, some factions have some factions have a spell or an ability.
Nope.
Yep. There's some gimmick that...
Can't you take Lanessa?
Zero. So we went from being the always
the free charge faction
to 100 to zero.
I think that was unintentional.
Losing a fury on top of it, you're getting
only
double
on the back.
No. Sentry, cannoneer. Oh, the sentry all did too. Yeah.
Even circle. So half the heavies lost a fury.
I'm looking at lists, and now I hesitate to talk about lists a lot because I think people who are listening should play 20 games, 30 games with every model, maybe not every caster, pick 5 casters you like, but throw all the casters together, put things together. Don't listen to a fucking thing anyone on the internet fucking tells you to play with right now, because literally it's a new edition. We don't fucking know anything. Don't listen to what people are telling you to do. Try, pick 4 casters, pick 5 casters, and just shove everything in them and see what fucking happens.
I've already built like 12 lists. I am not a strong enough man to say that I've built any lists with Desters in them.
We're obviously going to talk about lists at some point.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, that's
really
important.
Need
yeah.
to experiment, because this is the best time to experiment. Don't fucking listen to anyone.
And something that I think our listeners, people that bother to listen to this podcast probably don't struggle with this as much as some other podcasts, but don't just listen to what the big wigs tell you to play, okay? Great. We all know Kara Sloan looks amazing on paper. Great. So if you're a Signar player, roll up a Kara Sloan list and show me what you're made of. Like, let's see what your list has. I've seen several local players' Kara Sloan lists that they pre-came up with via the leaks before Mark III dropped, and I feel like I have a really good chance against it with the change to her feet, because I didn't like my chances of surviving top of one before. But with that change, I have lists that have answers in Rhett. I don't know if that's true in every faction. I haven't even looked at Legion, but I think that most factions have an answer. And the thing with the Kara Sloan list is the same problem with all dojo lists, is yes, if Kara Sloan has access to her favorite 75 points out of a 300-point list, yes, she can beat every comer. But it turns out she can only bring one list, so can you beat that one list?
Yep.
Great. Problem solved.
And then nobody's factoring in the terrain, just assuming.
I think it's going to be weird to see. I am not optimistic that terrain will change overnight.
No.
But I think over time, if the goal is to have more terrain, people who run events, people who work at stores, people who make terrain, will just make more of what they already have.
And it's true, because, I mean, we've always had more terrain in our area than some areas. And eight pieces still theoretically is not a lot if you keep terrain about the same size.
Well, because it used to be 4 to 5, but nothing within, 8 inches of the board edge or something. And they took away the 8 inches of the board edge restriction.
End zones.
Yeah, like they're like, put it anywhere you want. Put it in the deployment zone. We don't care. Mm-hmm. Put it wherever you want. That changes things significantly.
When I like that, you can put more stuff in the middle. The other thing that's hard for us to talk about is they haven't announced the Steamroller 2016 rules, and that's really what we...
But they have to by the end of this month because ADR rolls over on the 30th.
Correct. I think we're going to see it this week.
Well, we have the objectives, at least. Because
when it comes down to it, we're going to play 99% of our games in Steamroller 2016.
Yeah,
or whatever. We always play everyone plays Steamroller. Yeah. So until we see some of those nuances, I will say these scenarios in the Prime book are a lot better than they've ever been.
They were very proud of that.
But they're probably still not what I'm going to play. Like, I'm going to play Steamroller. I just am.
Well, some of them are stolen from Steamroller 2015, aren't they? I only glanced at them.
They're reminiscent. Vaguely.
They're reminiscent. That's a good word.
But the as far as the changes, I think, like, Ethan told me earlier that 20 of the changes in the rulebook, like, if you were to quantify the changes, we've already known through the insiders. So what are some of the things that we have that we haven't
I think the biggest one that I've seen discussions about recently, and we were talking about this outside before we started recording, but is the changes to in melee and shooting. I think that they made a significant overhaul to the system. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in reality. They changed assault so that it doesn't ignore the in melee penalty if you're not engaging someone. The new rule is, if you are able to shoot well in melee, and the point of origin of the spell or the ranged attack is engaging the target, then you do not suffer the +4 defense penalty. And it's a +4 defense penalty, not a -4 to hit penalty. Not that that really matters, but they did clarify that as well. So assaults changed pretty significantly, because before you could assault and intentionally fail your assault and then shoot at people that were in melee and ignore the melee penalty, which always felt a little weird. It happened to be how the rules were written, but they clarified that no longer works. Great. The other thing that's interesting is, if you're a dual shot character, so like Raven in Rhett is the example that I would use, she can now make melee and ranged attacks. If someone is in her melee range, she can shoot them just as if they had no penalty at all. Doesn't matter if they're engaging other people, doesn't matter what's going on, there's no penalty for her. If somehow her melee range was shrunk to 1/2 inch, or there are characters like the Desters, when they lose their lance, they go down to 1/2 inch, is a good example, that have something like Quick Work, which the Desters do, then you do have the problem that you can't shoot someone that is engaging you, but you're not engaging them without the penalty. But the way it works now is you can just shoot at that guy over there. Like, you're like, okay, well, shooting you is bad for me because you have reach and I don't. You'll be +4. But that guy over there is not engaged. I'm just going to shoot at him. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Like, they changed the system fairly dramatically, and I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out on things that can shoot in melee. I've looked through the rules quite a bit, and I haven't seen anything changed in relation to arc nodes, unless I'm missing something. I really wanted to find the rule that says you have to be engaged to not arc, and I didn't. So I think engaging still keeps you from arcing spells.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see anything.
Unfortunately. I think that was a change I'd like to see in Mark III. It wasn't there. It's not the end of the world, but like a phoenix, if I have reach with my sword and you have a 1/2-inch weapon, I feel like I should still be able to arc. I just do, like, from a fluff perspective. But from a rules perspective, I can't.
Yep. So. Ethan has a printer with some changes, but I'm going to throw out two things that I've noticed on my side before he gets into his...
in my list.
Into
his essay.
Colossal sweeps no longer require a line of sight, so if you sweep in a section, you just get every model, regardless of whatever it is, which is pretty cool. I think it's a good change.
And it uses the weapon's melee range.
Yep.
But the sweeps are weird to me, because it says make an attack with the weapon, but then you don't get the pow of the weapon. But what if you have e-leaps from your weapon, like the new Zapdos for Circle? Like, she has e-leaps on all of her weapons, but you don't get the pow of it. Do you still get the e-leaps? Or the Woldrath, he has an auto knockdown 4-inch AoE on his melee weapons. Does he get the knockdown? Because he doesn't get the pow from the weapon.
Yeah,
I know that there was a line in there that said that it would work with those types of abilities, would work if they were specifically called out on the card, but I can't remember in relation to that being hit or damage.
But it, like, his is on hit.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is, like,
the rule would have to say, and it works during a sweep, and I don't think it does.
Yeah.
But if you're making an attack with the weapon, like the sweep says, then it's an attack with his fist, and his fist has auto knockdown.
I agree. The rule is a little bit weird.
Yeah. I feel like they're just getting ready for the Sea King. Because he has to, with that chain and the anchor, he has to have a 4-inch sweep.
Well, there's already a 4-inch sweep. Yeah, the Krix one.
Kraken
I
can do it.
I thought I had heard that he can't 4-inch sweep.
He has a 4-inch melee range.
He has a 4-inch
melee. Power attack sweeps are usually 2 inches.
No,
but there's no restriction.
The new rule is it's the range of the weapon.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, what's weird is the Kraken has a listed range of 2 and the Chain Strike special ability.
Mm-hmm.
And what's not clarified anywhere that I found is it then a 4... Because it says it gains a 4-inch melee while activating. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're activating and you sweep. Is it the base melee range, or is it its current melee range?
You know what's funny? Travis has... I can imagine the rules for him.
Just like, oh, Travis is, I'm questions. Sure, having just... It's Christmas for Travis all week.
Or hell.
No, I think he actually enjoys it. I agree it's weird and masochistic, but I think he enjoys it.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I remember at MomCon, the number of people asking him if you could place a battle engine, he was getting very, very upset about answering questions.
I had to ask him. I did ask him one Mark III question. But I was like, you know what? I don't know. Because I normally don't bother Travis with shit, but I'm like, this one's bugging me. And I'm like, just chew on this. And then I wandered away from him.
Yeah,
but also throws are much more simplified.
Throws are way cleaner.
They are way better,
which is nice.
I like that they don't deviate at all if they don't reach the target. So you're like, I'm going to throw Amanda at Brian, but my throw range based on my strength is only halfway to Brian. It lands exactly halfway between me and Brian. I love that.
I do.
I think
that.
It's incredibly powerful, and I'm going to abuse throw. The crap
it
out
does?
Of it.
I guess I'm kidding.
Yeah, I do. The throw has 3 options. Yeah. So you
but one hand
and 2-hander are the same. The only advantage,
you don't need 2 hands to aim anymore.
The only advantage to having 2 hands is a bonus on the strength check to succeed to throw them. Then you either pick a spot that is not a person, and you just say I want to throw here, or you say I pick that person and I want to throw here, or you pick a direction. If you pick a direction, you throw out your max strength in that direction, and then it lands. Great. If you pick a spot or a target that are out of range, it goes its max distance towards that target, and then it stops. Great. If you throw it at someone, say a caster that you want to knock down, and they're in range to be clipped, then you will throw it, and then you have to determine if you hit them. Because what are you trying to hit if you aim at the ground? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to hit if you aim at a direction? Like, you're just throwing it that direction as hard as you can. Great. So I think it works out. I think that in... The way it's going to probably play out on the table is most of the time I'm going to throw things either a direction or at a target that I know is out of range in order to knock down the thing I actually want to knock down without a drift. I think that's probably going to happen in reality. I'm super okay with it. I'm going to like put an infantry model the right number of inches away from the guy I want to knock down, and then I'm going to want to run up my jack, and I'm going to pick up the guy, and I'm going to say, all right, throw it that direction. Oh, man, I hit him exactly with no roll. That's fantastic. All right, let's kill your caster. Let's do this thing.
That's pretty good.
I think one of the rules that I noticed that was interesting to me, at least, was the hills with arcing fire now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
having
big.
Instead of having the formula for like how big is your base and how big is the base you're shooting at, you just get blatant arcing fire now, which is...
I wish they would have just said you gain arcing fire instead of like that whole paragraph of what arcing fire is.
By the way, this is arcing fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other change they made with hills was the volume to volume as opposed to base measurement for melee. So in other words, if you're on a tall hill because your terrain maker makes tall hills, you aren't actively penalized in your melee range. You just measure straight out, and if that crosses what would be their base at any height, great, you're in melee range,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is also good.
That is also really good.
There is a bit more of, like, there's a lot more in terms of terrain and what it does and what types there are, which mm-hmm. I can't say I'm a super huge fan of the unique terrain
the
features.
The unique terrains are weird, but hedges isn't... The fact that they're going to make hedges more of a thing, we've always played with
hedges
in Madison.
Cool.
We've played those in Madison for years, but because they were technically in there, they were just kind of like, by the way, this exists, don't ever play it. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, hedges are totally a thing, go ahead and play them.
Yep. You just get.
I don't know how much we're going to see of the different terrain types because I don't know
the burning forest and the acid pool
and the rolling fog and
Having terrain that disappears and vanishes. I mean, if you have miles on the board and they're on it and you have to pull off terrain, it's a pain. Obviously, you could mark and say it's not there, but having to leave stuff when it's not really there
most of them don't completely go away. Rolling fog does,
correct.
But the burning forest is still a forest when it's done, and the acid pool is still, I believe, water when it's done.
I think so.
It's either water or rain. I forget.
The acid pool couldn't go out at all. The forest could, but the pool.
I thought
couldn't.
Both those could, but
I didn't read that much into them, so I have no idea.
Yeah,
let's see if I
that was godless acidity over time.
Yeah, they become more of a base.
Yeah. So we'll see what actually happens with those. I mean. And unless your trade is made to look that way, I mean, obviously there's ways you can put rings and mark it that way, but and there's all the 2D terrain stuff. We'll see if that gets adapted by the community.
The rolling to go out is the part that's the most weird for me, because then you can have an entire plan that relies on this terrain being there.
Yep.
And I don't have it in my notes. I was just trying to find it. I don't know if you roll on each person's turn or the top of a turn.
It's the beginning of a turn.
is a turn defined as my turn?
Or yeah,
turn?
Yeah, yeah. Starting the second turn. Player's
so,
first
So, like,
turn?
I can set up...
I can't remember
what... So, I can, like, set up, and I'm like, all right, I'm great, because this burning forest is in between me and your single wound infantry, or this acid pool, or whatever. And then you start your turn, and you roll, and you go, oh, it went out. Excellent. I'm going to go eat that thing now. And I'm like, yeah,
that's Yeah, that's always been my complaint with that kind of
that's
terrain.
That's not exciting.
Like, you can't build a strategy around it.
The and fog's the only one. Away. The fog's
I mean,
the only
it's
one.
A risk reward type of a strategy.
Is. But the rolling fog's the only one that really bites you because the forest is still a forest.
Yeah, it's still
and,
a forest.
And you don't take a fire damage roll for going through it, you just get lit on fire. Yeah. And the same with the corrosive pool. Like, those two don't change as much, but the rolling fog's a big deal.
On the flip side, let's say you're playing a list that has guns and there's rolling fog, and your opponent is able to put down one or two clouds naturally, and those fogs never go away, and they still
put down. That is huge.
Then you, instead of having this, like, three clouds that don't go away, that which we've experienced Gatsby 2 and Mark 2 doing three clouds, that's devastating.
Oh, I experienced that on several occasions.
Now, suddenly you have three clouds that just, God willing, are never going to go away, and suddenly that player is able to put down two more clouds, and it's like, okay, now...
Well, don't those fogs deviate every turn?
I gun lines.
I thought I read that.
So I think the fog does move.
The rolling fog does move around, though.
Yeah.
The rolling fog literally moves.
Like, yeah,
it's the weirdest piece of terrain I've ever heard
of. So you can't predict where it's going to be every turn until it starts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The rolling fog, everything about the rolling fog makes me nuts. But we'll see how it actually plays out. And if anyone ever even plays it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is a lot of these things just might never get played with, just like how our deep water...
See, I told someone
that... Well, I do like how there's no deep water. It's just water.
Yeah. Yes, the getting rid of deep water was a good decision. I did tell someone that I didn't think anyone was ever going to play the variable terrain, and they had the counterpoint, which I think is valid and may or may not be true, that, well, what if it's part of the steamroller packet?
That's the big question.
And
is
I was like, well, crap. That's a thing that could be true.
And if people, if it's fun and friendly, like if I go down to game night on Wednesday and people want to play with it, I'm not gonna, that's fine.
But I'm talking when I go to a big 40-man tournament and the game gets decided by this asshole fog cloud that travels around the board.
Who decided
getting
to just
in my
fuck
way.
You.
Yeah, I want it to be player skill versus player skill, list of nine versus list of nine, not disappearing, reappearing, vanishing,
right.
Boring yeah, elements.
Exactly. From a competitive
I don't play
player's
events anymore.
From a competitive player's perspective, that those kind of things are they don't have a place in the game, but
private tier casuals.
Yeah.
Well, I'm clearly a power gamer because I play Rhett. I wouldn't play Rhett if I wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. You're the new Pricks player, right?
It feels good. Yeah. Feels real good.
The worst part is going to be going to every tournament knowing I have to have a mirror match.
Well, the other thing too is now with Rhett, you're going to be going against every pairing has to have a list in there.
It has to have a Rhett list.
Yeah.
Well, because we're the only. I mean, we're going to be the infantry
Signar.
Faction.
Signar is
going to
be a powerhouse too.
Signar's going to be a powerhouse, but I think Signar. From what I've seen of Signar, my experience is going to be Signar is going to be more similar to the other factions, whereas Rhett is still likely to be running three units of infantry, and they're going to be really, really unusual in that. Yep. Like, I know you played a five-unit Scorn list the other day because you were feeling mopey about your beasts.
Well, no, I'm just why I just liked that list.
And that's fine, but I think in general at a competitive event, you're going to see a lot of 1 to 2 units and jacks. Just like you used to see 1 to 2 jacks and units, you're going to see 1 to 2 units and jacks.
I want 7 infantry units. I'm not quite there yet.
Fair enough. I'm sure they'll give you a theme force that makes it all possible
for
you,
Brian.
Well,
Karrocks are pretty cheap. I'm really debating buying 3 more units of Karrocks, but that's another topic.
I did play a seven unit list the other day, though.
Yeah,
but that was Cephalax.
Whatever.
I mean, yeah, I don't disagree. I think that if I find a way to do it, I might wind up buying more Sentinels because it seems like Sentinel spam could be one of the most terrifying, horrific things in the entire world in Mark III.
I'm going to be curious to see how many...
Yeah, but there's a lot of deadly shot stuff, a lot of snipers.
Sure, but like, if I'm running 40 Sentinels,
I know that's the problem.
I
if there's
could
40
not
of
possibly
them.
Care less.
Well, you have 20. Aren't they FA2? Are they FAU?
No, they're FAU.
Holy shit.
Their UA is
that.
FA2, but remember, they have Vengeance all the time.
That's true.
So do I even care about the UA? Not really.
I mean, Iron Zeal's nice.
So
it's nice.
One thing we didn't mention, too, the keynote was short, but the one thing I did say is they're going to have command books come out in 6 months, which are basically the old faction books, which is surprising to me that they're doing that. They're waiting that long because after that's done, which is going to be take a while to get there. I don't think they're going to have 12 command books come out in a month. I'm assuming it's going to be.
I don't know. Seems unlikely, except they all have the theme forces. So if
no,
like,
the theme forces are separate books.
Oh yeah, separate books.
Standalone.
I thought those were working.
They're going
out 6 months.
The forces of is what I understand.
Okay.
So They didn't really give a lot of detail in the theme force books because I mean, are you going to see like one X amount of theme forces? And what I thought was cool. This is very GW-ish in a positive or negative way. Is you know, let's say in January a Theme Force book comes out for Krix. Whatever, if there's any new models in that book, those models are going to be out within a few months of that book. Like anytime there's a new book, there's going to be models that for that book. Instead of it being a year cycle, it's going to be a few months for that Theme Force.
They also heavily hinted that some of these Theme Forces are going to have like the alternate Gorax that Arcadius's old Theme Force had. And so it'll be you won't even have to buy anything. It'll just be a card, and they're all going to be in War Room. Like they did, I've seen forum threads where people from Privateer suggested that that was the case. It was going
to
be.
It'll be interesting, and I wonder which was weird. Like Mark 1, because it takes if depending on how fast those books come out. I remember when Mark 2 hit, when it was a book a month. You know, some people had Theme Forces. If whoever is lucky gets their first book, it's Theme Forces in, you know, December.
Yep.
And then the unlucky guy has to wait till the following January to get his Theme Forces. It's a really frustrating time that for those other.
So I'm curious
to see the speed of it. I mean, once it's all said and done, it doesn't matter anymore. But during that
year. Well, unless they come out with new ones once a year for different factions, and then you get into a GW-esque cycle, and then it's, like, terrifying.
Yeah. I feel like there's a potential for balancing units and balancing models with Theme Forces. So that's another thing.
I mean, it'll be interesting. I just wonder if it'll do that. I'm just curious how it'll be different than how when Mark II launched, because there was a big time period. And of course, half the people were happy their books were last, because the first Theme Forces were like, what the fuck is this? And
have you
like,
seen a Rhett Mark II Theme Force? Yeah, exactly. They are garbage.
I mean, obviously now they rebalanced and they got a pretty good head how they're going to do it. It's still, I'm curious to see the time, the length of time.
Would you like some Strike Force with your Strike Force?
So
I would like some more Strike Force.
Amanda, do you have any rules things that you've explored at all?
Nope.
All right. How about, do you have any burning desire to express any one or two rules from your essay? And then we can move on to factions.
My big one is disruption. Disruption does not stop allocation.
Yeah, it does.
It does not.
It stops disruption any form of giving.
No, it stops you from gaining a focus.
Yeah, and if you read the wording on allocation.
Allocation is allocating.
The war deck gains a focus when you allocate. They specifically said they're the same rule now.
Because I read Allocation. I was reading the Primal book that just had the little blurb about
it. Prime.
I'm looking it up.
I even made a note of the pages.
Pages up, man.
And that book was like fresh when I brought it here.
No, that I just wrote down Disruption.
Not going to be when I take it home.
Disruption's on page 60.
I have been looking every page.
But I'm pretty sure Disruption does not stop allocating.
Look, I'm pretty sure. It might not, but I think it does.
Because Disruption, rule says you cannot gain a focus and channel, and Empower says you gain a focus, but when I was reading Allocation, it just says Warcasters may allocate a focus to a Warjack in their battle group. Like, there is still the distinction of allocate and gain. Because after that, it said, keep in mind, a Jack can still only have 3 focus max. And, like, you'll look it up. Maybe I'm wrong.
To be fair, someone on this podcast about that.
I'm sure when this is all said and done next week, our first 20 minutes is an apology for everything we got wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so man, disruption. A warjack hit by this attack loses its focus points and cannot gain focus or channel spells for one round. And then in addition to focus points gained from powering up, a battle group commander can allocate additional focus points to the warjacks in its battle group during control phase. A warjack must be in its battle group commander's control range, although it need not be in line of sight. A warjack cannot have more than 3 focus points at any time and cannot Cripple Cortex cannot be allocated points.
Yeah, so there's allocation. No limit on allocation. It's a limit on how much they can have.
Yeah.
Which is really fantastic.
Yeah, so disruption does not stop allocation.
Yes, well it does.
No.
It's that they can't gain focus.
They can't be allocated.
No, so disruption prevents you from gaining it. And the question is, do you gain it when... But allocated doesn't have the word gain in the sentence.
Allocation and gaining focus has always been separate. That's why you can empower a Jack that already has a focus on it now, because it just says you gain. And speaking of empower, only half of empower works against disruption. Because empower says target Jack gains a focus and then loses disruption.
Right. We need an inferno in the room while we go over these things.
That was my big thing.
That's why Nathan also left the state. He's like, Mark 3 coming out. Rules questions. I got to go.
Yeah, no, but that is 100% true.
Threw his phone in the lake and ran.
The word gain does not show up anywhere in the allocation sentence.
Yeah, so
now,
disruption's not a big kick in the dick anymore.
I think it might be, because there was an insider where people talked about disruption, and I could have sworn somebody said all ways to get focus are gain, just like all ways to remove damage are now removed.
That's they also said in the insiders that Skinners gained weapon master.
I agree that there were things in the insiders that may have not been factually correct. I agree with that. Just like with War Room has some bugs that are not quite right either. So it is hard to say with any definitive truth. However, I would bet good money there's a thread on the rules forum about this. So Travis can let us know.
What you're getting at is kind of semantics.
Not really.
No, there is a big deal.
You're looking at the language, though, and the language
The language is super important in this game.
Yes.
And they've always made a point of that.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying you're pointing out language that might be something they overlooked.
But even in Mark II, they always made a distinction between allocation and gaining.
Yes, and that's Mark II.
The other thing about that's disruption, true, but regardless of whether this is true or not, is disruption no longer goes out on a 1 or a 2. Disruption is for a round.
Which disruption different
was,
word.
That was like Mark 1.
No, it's just that they that listed it effects in the continuous effects.
Oh,
and people
okay
had thought.
I thought that was like stall in Mark
stall
1 or something.
Stall was that way.
Disruption yeah was always stall a round. Cause
okay. I know that you can't. The other thing that changed is like Gorman doesn't have a blind bomb anymore. But if he did, blind effect, like all effects that are stackable, last the longest duration. So you can no longer put an effect on your own thing in order for it to have a shorter duration.
Yeah,
which is
black oiling your own thing to prevent them from black oiling
or
it
disrupting your own thing or yeah what have you. No longer works.
That's cool.
I agree.
I like that.
So throw one more at us, Ethan, and then we'll move into faction stuff.
I don't know. Oh, the other big one I saw was the change of casting spells on out-of-formation models.
Oh, yeah.
It even works on offensive spells.
Yep.
Because I used to run a model up, hellmouth it in the back with Cassius all the time, and it's like, now I can't. Like, it used to be just the upkeeps and the buffs.
So if a model's out-of-formation, you cannot target it.
Even with offensive spells.
A friendly model.
A friendly model.
You cannot target a friendly model that's out-of-formation in any way. However, if a unit has a model out-of-formation, you can still target the unit.
Yes.
That's the change. From Mark II, it was you just can't target it at all if it's anything out of formation. Now, you can leave a guy back, but you can't cast onto that guy, so why would you?
Yeah.
Yep, the casters are feeling sorry for...
But the change is good because you don't want something... Like, there are several play effects in Mark III where it's like, take control of a guy, walk him 3 inches, make a melee attack. If you could do that to prevent the enemy from putting buffs on any of their units at all times, it would be incredibly frustrating.
Yes.
And so they fixed that. Because mm-hmm that was something people... Several of my more power gamery friends had already been talking about with some of the Krix casters and stuff that were spoiled. They're like, well, this would be great because I'll just walk a guy out of formation and then their whole unit gets screwed. It's like, well, that's not actually how that works anymore.
Yeah.
But thanks for playing.
And even in Mark II, when that change came through about the formation, people flipped their minds.
I remember.
I never saw it actually happen.
It was
the Kador Arc node was a thing, but only for Kador.
I had never used it as a Kador player either.
I had seen it at tournaments pretty frequently.
I mean, people, when they complain about when you change your rules, how auto-formations could screw things up. Like, I never saw that actually come into play.
It was a big thing for Imorvana, who liked to leave a guy back and then maybe beast floor him and always keep that guy back. That way you could put carnivore on him and then feed them back. Yeah. Like, that changed her dramatically. Yeah. But
Fuck her anyway.
Well, she has been fucked, but we'll
she
get
has
to
been
that
fucked royally.
But we'll get to that.
The only other major rule, and I don't actually want to go into depth about it, I just want to hear opinions, yes or no, good or bad. Jack Marshalls. My personal opinion, I have yet to see a Jack Marshall outside of there's a Krix Jack Marshall that might see play, but all of the other Jack Marshalls I've looked at do not have a drive that is compelling enough that with the Jack Marshall changes I will play them. Even in Rhett, where I can give them focus, I haven't found a Jack Marshall compelling enough.
Wait, the Krix one, the guy who collects souls and then can't do anything with them
no,
for
the Krix,
Jack?
No, the Krix one that makes his Jack have stealth and the ILO. Also, yeah, the ILO. Like, that guy seems legitimately playable.
Okay, I'm actually thinking
his,
another one.
His drive isn't a drive, it's my Jacks have stealth.
Yeah, which is really
that's
good.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he'll see play.
Yes.
Outside of him, I don't see them as being very compelling.
Jack Marshalls are always pushed by their drive. That was always the reason to take a...
Yeah, and now I don't see in compelling enough drives. When it's competing against the free focus, I don't see anything compelling enough.
For the for me, at least, from the factions that I've been messing with lately, the Jack Marshalls still have the same problem where I will take them, but they won't have a Jack on them because their abilities are better. Like Thor and I think the Kovnik still is a Jack Marshall, but it's or the Manowar Kovnik still a Jack Marshall, but it's that he has Desperate Pace for them now instead of the Iron Fang Kovnik. So I probably won't put a Jack on him ever, but I'll have him in every list.
Dawnguard Sire's the same way. Like, he has a legit ability to just help other Dawnguard now.
Yeah.
So you're like, I won't ever put a Jack on him, but I'll play him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have seen the argument for Jack Marshalling Jacks that have AoEs for that one that gives you +2 to the damage rolls, which works on AoEs.
Sure, but...
I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're really well worth it. There's a couple. Like, I've seen the Artificer argument with an Aspis, because that thing heals D3 for its shield every turn, and D6, so if you really need that shield guard every turn, but, like, even that's corner...
It already heals D6.
I know, it's corner
and
case.
And here's the thing.
It's really corner case.
Let's not forget that his D3 ability is exactly the same as if it spent its free focus every turn regenerating its shield.
Yeah. It's
exactly the same.
I don't see much of a point, and they said they wanted to streamline Jack Marshalls, and then they made 4 really confusing abilities that you have to memorize for them. I think, like, the extra boost or extra attack per turn was really simple, But now that it's like, it's like Crush.
If I played someone right now and they played a Jack Marshall, they could tell me anything they wanted to tell me those extra rules, and I'd be like,
I have found a reason to play a Jack Marshall in one specific case. Yeah. Brian, the next time he comes down to the game store.
Yeah,
exactly. My Jack Marshall makes my Jack unattackable. That's his drive.
It must be what it is. Like, I know there's seven. Well, not the drive. The drive I can figure out, but I don't know. Okay. No, that's the Jack Marshall. Like, things that
every turn, I get to pick one of five things, and the fifth one is this Jack cannot be attacked by in melee, ranged, or with spells.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Jack Marshalls are pretty cool.
I know.
All right. Yeah, not a huge fan. Before we go on to like, I do have one more. This one I found really interesting.
You told him he could have one more.
I could have one or two, and he just.
I have one more. Like, the way it works for triggers now, like, if you have an ability that procs, like, where you explode, like, if you have primed on you and you have tough, you can make prime take precedence. So you blow up and don't have to take a tough check if you want to blow up.
Oh, that's cool.
They even used it in their example on page 11 about how that model has an ability to blow up and tough. As the non-active player, if they killed on their turn, you can decide, I want the explosion ability to take precedence so I don't tough and auto-blow up 11.
Yeah,
I used the PDF from War Room. I know, I'm sorry.
I'll find it.
They used the blow thrall in Terminus's command.
Yeah, basically, you can be like, I want him to blow up in this infantry and not tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, it's really corner case, but I thought it was really cool.
Cool. Yeah. So you just get to pick all of your abilities as the active player. You just be like, this takes precedence.
Yes.
Nice. Even if they trigger on different stages?
Right here.
It's because it talks about when it gets boxed.
Oh.
And like things that trigger on boxed, like primed and
so
tough.
It is still disabled, box, destroyed. You have to do those in order.
Yeah. But if they both resolve at the same stage, you can choose which one.
That makes sense. Cool.
Well, that would make sense, except there's a model that RFPs when he kills things that also gets overtake, which only triggers on destroyed.
Which one was I saw it, too?
Merc solo, I think.
Like, this does nothing.
Yeah. He literally doesn't ever get to overtake. But the RFP is real good.
That's kind of neat. It goes on to say that if the tough check fails, I'm sorry. I'm not close enough to make. If the tough check fails, the explosion doesn't happen either.
Yes.
So
because he hasn't died. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a good clarification. That's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah. It was good just job, really Ethan. Interesting. Thank you. I actually read the rule book like for an hour. Yeah.
Ethan and I are best friends in Rhett now, so we
like. I know Rhett brothers.
Every time I go to a lot, like on the plane, on the way home, most of today, I didn't have time to read the rule book.
You're a little sleepy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Ethan and I are going to every turn that we go from now on, we're just going to be docking the whole time.
I know,
so the TOs are going to have to always seat us next to each other at tables. We just can't help it.
It's going
to
be so good.
So I think we have a pretty good representation of factions that are played here.
I play two, and I dabble in a third that I don't play.
I play a decent amount.
Circle.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
But you play Circle too?
Well, Katie owns Circle, and therefore I make lists for Circle.
Because I'm Rhett Circle, too.
Yeah. No, I'm Rhett Legion. Rhett Legion are my
I hate
kill all round ears, but
I hate you a little more. Whatever, Cassius, best caster in the Legion now.
So we'll...
No, even though he's a tree.
Even though he's not a caster anymore.
Yeah. Since you guys are a jerking about Rhett, why don't you just go ahead and give us a little bit of what you're excited for?
Everything. What's there not to be excited about besides like Thyrin and Desters?
Desters.
I'm a little sad about Thyrin. I loved him.
I had the advantage that because I stopped playing in like November, I never got to put Thyrin on the table, and so I didn't get my heart broken by Mark III.
Yeah,
because there is a lot of heartbreak involved in Thyrin Mark III if I had loved him. But on the bright side, the first caster I ever owned and the true love of my life, Ossian.
Oh god,
is
yes.
So good in Mark III.
It's disgustingly good. he just answers everything. Like, you have high defense.
Yep.
Screw you, Deadeye. You have a lot of infantry, Shatterstorm, you have high armor, I have a feat that stacks with brutal damage shots.
Yep. Oh.
I have a gun that gives neg 2 defense and speed. My character gives Shadowbind. On his gun with ghost sight.
He only ever camps 2 or 3, so the focus changes are just strictly good for him. Like, they're just
so good.
It's all money. Future sight's just always on now.
Exactly. That is amazing.
Oh my god, so much money in Ossian.
Especially with power up. Like, you don't even need to give your jacks anything.
You're like, here's one. You're probably going to hit. So, you know, when you do, don't boost it. And if you don't, go ahead and boost.
Yeah. And then if maybe I think I'll hit, I'll give it an Arcanist.
Yeah, because I got an Arcanist, because why not?
Because I got 3 of them now.
Yeah. Oh my god. Everything about him. Admonition is... because you can't charge friendly models anymore. Well, I guess Admonition doesn't really benefit from that as much, but the polarity field on Ron gets so much more money by them not being able to charge their own models.
Exactly. There's nothing around it.
It's just like my model with polarity field standing in the center of the field. You can walk towards it or you can charge somewhere else. Get wrecked.
Yeah. And then if you stack it with, a couple battle engines that got real good, then you can have three huge unchargeable bases in a zone that just say, fuck you. Come at me.
Come at me, brah. And the battle engine gets to fire twice now.
Exactly, with plus two range.
And things that can move around it but still get the plus two range from it.
It's so fucking good.
Everything about it is so good.
Okay. Well, Ethan and
Jeremy seriously, my erection's hitting this table just over and over and over. Like, I can go on and on about how that thing's awesome.
Even the thing that I have yet to put in a list, which is Madeline Corbeau, is so money for red.
Like, it's just hard.
Like, it's hard because Silas is just like straight cash money. Because
now, like, I'm just like every list Silas. First thing, I'm like, I don't have to worry.
But Corbeau's parlay ability is going to be just straight money late game, and in the middle and early game, you're like, oh, you guys brought a stealth unit or a stealth jack. How about it's not stealth anymore, and I rip it off the table because I'm red. That would be amazing. Let's do that.
And if you stack her, because she's the one who stops shooting in her command range, gets her in a warcaster, right?
Yeah, you can't attack her or her warcaster.
So if you run Gareth, who is stealth, you literally cannot shoot him unless you ignore stealth or kill her, who's also has a bodyguard of sentinels.
She has sucker.
Exactly. It's like, who gives a shit?
You can stack Corbeau with Linus Arissal and just be like, all of this doesn't get to do things.
So good.
The fun part is 6 months from now, I'm like, Rhett's the worst faction in the world. None of that stuff works. No.
I loved and played Rhett in Mark II, which makes me a little bit of a masochist, I understand. But I am just having such...
It's like, Rhett's time to shine.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
I did enjoy Ron in Mark II, and I'm going to still enjoy him. He's still Ron. And he still runs things.
And Kalissa, got so much better. So I have to talk about one spell on Kalissa. Like, how is this okay that this spell exists?
It's not.
It's not upkeepable. It only costs two, so she can cast it three times. And any target model in her battle group ignores line of sight, ignores concealment, ignores cover, ignores stealth. How does that exist in this game?
How does that exist?
Why does it make me so happy?
When you can have range 17 Hydras that are power 15, just shoot your caster every turn.
And then if you want to put it on a shorter ranged gun, you just put refuge on that jack.
Exactly.
Because Phantom Hunter is not an upkeep, so it walks up, it shoots the fuck out of you with Phantom Hunter, then it backs up its full activation and flips you the bird.
Yes.
Oh!
I will enjoy with Kalissa also a defense 17 Helios against guns.
Yeah, that seems okay.
A defense 17 with Poltergeist Colossal, that just...
Yep.
God, I love it.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be a good year. Right up until they errata us into the ground.
Yeah, that's about it too.
All right. So anyway, I'm spent. I need a moment.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not done. Have you read Gareth's card? Now I'm done. Don't even need to say anything. Best caster ever.
So while Ethan and Jeremy are in their refractory period, Amanda, how about some Cyrus stuff?
See, it's cool that Gareth gets defense
17.
Yeah,
this is going to happen all day.
The red train never stops.
I'm just going to sit here and smile the whole time.
Morgul 2 lost the defense, but Gareth gets to keep 17.
Yep, that's the
Gareth
fact.
Gareth got to get acrobatics.
And heightened reflexes.
Doesn't get there.
And heightened reflexes. Let's not forget knocking down.
Yeah, can't forget that.
And then let's not forget... read his feet. Just read his feet.
Oh, I would love to.
Because there are probably listeners that haven't downloaded War Room yet, and I want to share my joy with you.
People haven't downloaded War Room yet?
Well, you have to pay for the cards.
Oh.
Maybe, yeah. So you might not
own that. I don't have to pay
They might
for
not
cards.
Know what's coming for them.
I know a lot of people on the forums that are like, I'm waiting to buy it, or I haven't bought it, or I just don't have money right now. A lot of people just haven't seen it.
I just use Brian's.
Yeah.
It is a pretty big cost.
Yeah, I mean, it was 100% worth it, but yeah, not everyone has it.
Oh, yeah.
And his guns and melee?
And Sentry. Don't forget about Sentry.
Oh, Sentry's amazing. But his feat reads, for one round, while in Garrus' control range, enemy models cannot cast spells, channel spells, spend focus, or fury points, or be moved by place effects.
What would you have to do to increase your armor as a warcaster?
Oh, you'd have to...
You'd have to spend focus.
Yeah.
What would you have to do to transfer damage as a warlock?
I think you spend fury.
I'm pretty sure you have to spend fury. So he just gives everybody in his army... Get fucked for your caster.
He gives everyone Arcane Assassin and effectively Grievous Wound.
But he's Focus 5, right?
Six. On a Speed 7 caster with acrobatics who can charge 10.
And has Mirage. Yeah. So he can place 2 extra inches. Yes. And he has Whip Snap in faction. So you have a Battle Mage or a Magister that just goes, hey, Gareth, how about you move an extra 3 inches? Because that would be pretty sweet.
That would be pretty
You don't even have to do any damage, just on hit.
That would be pretty sweet if that existed.
If such a thing existed, it would be
Gareth
amazing.
Had a feat threat range of 30 inches, that would be
that
pretty
would
cool.
That would be okay.
Yeah, if only he did.
If only he did.
God, it's so good.
All right, next faction.
Are you we'll go back to Rhett where you want us to come around? Come back
I mean, there's not a whole lot that I'm super excited about because nothing has really changed other than focus induction is better.
Aurora
got a better feat.
I mean, that seems like a pretty significant improvement for her.
Well, and I have her right in front of me because my plan is I'm going to play her and I'm going to figure out how to play her well. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there's really, I mean, outside of that, outside we're of pretty much standard. I am super excited because I did get my Prime Conflux.
And they're going to errata it so you can actually deploy the battle engine. Oh, that's the bat. Sorry, I forget the names because Cirrus.
They do all look alike to me.
They do all look alike and they do all sound alike.
Whoa.
I say the same thing about Troll Warders and Haxors. They do look alike.
Yeah. But I picked up the Prime Conflux and I read the rules and it's fairly exciting.
It's pretty okay.
I mean, everything is just okay.
You're not quite where Ethan and I are.
No, I'm not. But I'm also not on like the other side of things where like everything is trash and I'm so upset at the world.
That's fair.
So I'm just kind of in like everything is good and I will work with it.
That's a good segue into Brian and Brian.
Well, I mean, because Scorn is changed a bit. I mean,
just a bit.
Do you want to pull up the Bronze Back entry and read that for you?
Well, I don't care. I mean, it's interesting because it seems like, you know, for Beast, it really seems like the stable Beast is going to be, you know, Gladiators.
That is weird to me, but I agree. It does seem to be that way.
Because the list I've been making, I've definitely been using more of them when I make heavies. I've been making more lists with lights and infantry, but I'm also in the phase where I want to. Because I'm out of town going to Origins this week, I have not gotten the chance to play much on Wednesday or get into some games this weekend where I want to, you know, like I said earlier in the beginning, I want to really make cat lists with 5 casters and put, you know, all the models down and try them out. I mean, there's a few things that there's five or six casters I'm excited about and 5 or 6 casters I don't see at this time what makes them tick. So I need to play what I think looks kind of cool. And then go from there and then see whether I was right or wrong on those assumptions. And then I can work my way to the other stuff. But, I mean, Tiberian's amazing. I mean, he's just as good as he was in Mark II, if not better. I mean, because he had the same rule as Colossus where, you know, he couldn't be moved. But now he can move. But now it's other things can't move him. So he can move. He can overtake with Xerxes, which is amazing.
That is really cool.
Yeah, that is really good. Everyone was like, why would they give him overtake if he can't move? Like, they really thought PP would miss that.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And stuff like the sentries getting shield guard is really cool. The Titan sentries are really cool. War beasts. I got a couple of them that I've always I like to play in the past, which are neat. Resh's feats even better than it ever has been.
Oh, yeah.
Naresh. One thing that I think, and I mentioned this to Travis, when you look at the Warcaster points, or what you can bring to a battle group, Makeda 3 is only 24, but she has a couple models with her. And Kea 2 has Lara, so she's at 24. So there's certain models that when you get extras, you go down in points.
Yeah.
But Makeda 2 is also 24, and she has nothing extra.
For no apparent reason.
She's the only caster at 24 that doesn't have extra things with her. And it seems really weird to me that she doesn't have the 26 to 28 that everyone else has.
I agree. That feels weird.
Because I was looking at it, because she's one of the casters that I like for various reasons. Like her dash is a cool spell. She has I think it's deflection she has. So she's got an interesting mix of abilities that I really want to play her, then I was like, well, why does she have 24 points? It just seems awkward to me. So, but that I don't is, know. Weird. I'm like, man.
Wait, Makeda 1 has 29.
Makeda 1 has 29. Makeda 2 has 24. Makeda 3. I half think it was some sort of like crossover typo. They just carry the 24.
That feels like something that's going to get eroded and was a mistake. It just feels like
I mean, it's not end of the world either way. It stuck out to me as an awkward thing for Makeda 2 to be a 24. I like her otherwise. I think she's got some interesting spells, and she's in my 6 casters I want to play. Rashath, I'm going to play some. I've already played Xerxes. I mean, my one game in Mark 3 was Xerxes 1, which I like quite a bit. He's still cool.
Yeah, I think what's going to be weird playing against Scorn is, and I think this is going to be an adjustment period for some people. I know it will be for me. Like, my rule was always, can anything in Scorn, any of Scorn's beasts reach anything of mine?
Then it's dead.
Yeah. And now I'm looking at a Titan Gladiator, and it's pow 16.
Yeah.
like, it's Power 60, it's Fury 4, but it doesn't get to charge for free, and, like, what
it'll be, I mean, it'll be 18, because you're going to have, I mean,
I understand
Scorn
that.
Scorn still has enough buffs on damage that exists. Yeah.
So. Every caster can get it to 18.
But it's not like a Bronze Back, where a Bronze Back could, like, it could literally remove a Colossal by itself. But, and now, it can't.
A Bronze Back's still going to kill probably any heavy in the game. I mean, that's going to still
a normal heavy, yes.
Correct.
Not an Imperatus, not a...
Xerxes, I pretty much choke out Imperatus off the
field. He gets up to Power 19 without caster buffs.
Still. Yeah,
three but initials, he keeps a chain attack.
He still needs sixes to hit.
That's true, but...
There's so many buffs. Hitting and damage aren't problems Scorn had, and they're not problems I have now.
No.
So Scorn, it's just they're different. I think your list beast combination is going to be different. You're going to see in Scorn. I think there's a lot of... Also, too, when I was playing, normally you'd put a bunch of Animus on the table, but now that since you can only remove, like, one Fury, now you're like... You're really thinking which Animus are going to go out. You're not just throwing stuff out there, so it's a lot more choices per turn of what you're doing.
And one of the key Animuses that you as a faction were you personally as a player at least were taking advantage of became Ranged Self. Farstrike going to Ranged Self is a big change.
Yeah,
correct. But they also bumped the ranges of some things up a little
they
bit.
They did, anyway, and I think that was good for your faction overall.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a weird adjustment period for anyone that plays Animi.
Correct.
Yeah. It is. A lot like Spiny Growth becoming Ranged Self blew my mind open.
And the fact that it's weird because it costs two in itself only. And
it's like, why am I casting?
No, it costs one.
It's...
Are we talking Spiny or Snipe? Because Snipe's one.
Spiny's two.
Oh, Snipe's one, Spiny's two, yeah.
Yeah, but then it costs two, Ranged Self.
I know, it's really good for the casters that want it.
Kind of.
Like, Chromac 2, I'll still cast it every turn.
And there's subtle changes that are really hard to...
caster.
Yeah.
I know, that's the problem. You're not taking it for the caster, almost.
And there's, like, subtle changes, like... maybe Defender's Ward was always here, but I thought it was a 2 before. Maybe
Defender's Ward?
Yeah.
Defender's was a 2-2.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs the cast.
Oh, Defender's Ward costs?
Yeah, some upkeeps went up. I know
that. Yeah, went up in Christ, like Mobility.
Mobility going up really makes Xerxes too hard.
That makes Xerxes do
this. Yeah, that rains on
because he's a 5 still, right?
He's a 5, and he lost the ability to cast an Animus. So now he can't cast... If he casts 2 spells, he's at 0.
Yeah, and
he lost the defensive ability of the Animus, so now he can't... So I haven't. I'm challenged to find how to keep Xerxes 2 alive. So I mean, I'm working more on the smaller war casters for now, just to figure.
Well, did Xerxes 2 get any kind of buff? Because they were talking about frontline casters getting some sort of buff. I know.
Are you joking right now?
Not really.
Not a single frontline caster got.
Butcher got tough.
Okay, not a single frontline caster got an armor buff.
I know, like they said they would. But
now when PP was pushed on this, they said that's not true. Butcher 1 did. Because they changed Iron Flesh from +2 def to +2 arm, and he can put +2 arm on himself. But literally not a single frontline caster got an armor buff.
I know, that's why I was asking, because I'm like, there's got to be one.
A K to 3 lost an armor.
Oh, yeah. That helps.
Yeah.
A lot of the lights in Scorn all lost armor across
Ron
the board.
Ron gained a defense, getting back to the right thing.
That's true, but he did lose.
He lost the ability that he can now gain from solo.
But then he lasts... Force barrier.
Yeah, which he can now get from a solo.
I know.
That makes him even better.
Yeah, so Scorn's interesting. I like the imagery. I mean, I was playing Carrick's a lot towards the end of Mark 2.
Carrick's are amazing.
Oh, God. Carrick's got
Carrick's
good.
Carrick's are amazing. Extra, more speed, more armor. I mean, those two things alone are just amazing.
Didn't Slingers get buffed too, I thought?
The rats still the same, but they have a solo. Okay. The one thing that Carrick's did lose, and it's minor, but they lost, like, people used to be able to see through them and shoot. I forget that rule's called.
Ranked attacks.
Ranked attacks. They lost.
Everybody
ranked
lost
attacks is gone now. There's an alternative rule where that unit ignores each other, but there's no ranked
and
attack.
And that's what the UA for Carrick's are going to give them. They're going to give once.
Oh, really?
Carrick's are going to have, they can ignore each other for attacking and charging. And they're also going to have, once again, Iron Zeal.
Nice. I know. When I saw they got Iron Zeal, too, I'm like, Jesus.
But I'm like, honestly, it's 4 points. If the Standard Bearer can't make an attack, I'm probably never taking that UA. Or maybe I'll take it rarely. But, I mean,
That's really expensive.
My lists start with 2x Carrick's, and I go from there. I just put 20 Carrick's in the table for 22 points, and I just add.
So I have a genuine question for you about the Slingers, something that I've been wondering since I saw their spoiled card. So they gave a unit that's not innately an AoE, and that is range 10, Flare, and that doesn't ignore stealth. I feel like there's a real corner case where you're using that. Like, I guess your Slingers are way in front of everything else, and they flare something from 5 inches out, and then other things shoot it.
Well, but if they hit something next to it, it creates the AoE. And then
there's no AoE on Flare. There's literally the flare is AoE free. So it's literally you have to directly hit a stealth thing to make it lose stealth.
You can give it an extoller, could give it ghost.
That's what I'm missing, the extoller.
Yeah, the extoller. Okay. The extoller makes it good.
But the thing is, that the Reaver UA is pretty amazing because it gives all those Reavers, or all the Venonators, plus one to hit. And you can really have
really?
One.
There's a UA that does that or a solo?
It's a new solo.
He has leadership Reavers.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing.
Which works with the
and stuff like, catapult, there's going to be interesting things. Like Rasheth's feet is super powerful now because it's all models lose, you know, defense, armor, and strength. And then Reavers can go crazy on those things. Now you're going to be shooting something. Now your base sixes. And if they're medium, you're going to hit. You know, you're going from power 10, you know, to a 12 because of the armor drop to a 13, 14, you know. And then if you do our CRA, you're up to a 15, 16. I just like you're going to be able to really peg some stuff.
Venators are going to rip heavies off the table under Rasheth. Yeah. They just are.
And they're going to hit pretty easily.
Yep. Yeah, no, they're going.
So there's lots of really neat stuff like that. There's a lot of other ways to play Scorn that people are going to be seeing, and I think my first 20 or 30 games, I'm going to win one of them, as I figure it out. And that's why I play on Wednesdays, and that's why you know it's like whatever.
That's why you don't want your first game in Mark III to be at an important tournament.
Yeah, well, like it's going to be in a month when we play in the WITC.
I know we got to like man.
Yeah, I didn't actually sign up for that, and now that I'm excited about Mark III, again, I kind of wish I had.
You know, honestly, you that's why I'm bringing Rhett. Probably could get fine room in the team. The girls, ever get
we
spot?
Have a fifth.
You got green.
Green in?
No, it's not. We actually have the PG from Lacrosse, Megan.
Oh, nice. That's actually exciting for team girl power.
That's cool too.
We do have,
but there. I mean, someone may need a spot. I mean, so that's if you. Some of the, you know.
I thought about it, but it's in. It's like.
It is in a month.
It's like in a month, and it's a couple hours away.
It's like, in Waukesha.
Is it drivable, or are people?
It's drivable.
It's drivable, but I mean, I think a lot of people are planning on.
We're gonna. I'm gonna.
It
stay,
is 2 days. Yeah.
I'm gonna stay overnight Saturday night for that.
It's tempting. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been excited to play in a War Machine tournament, and I'm excited to play in a War Machine tournament.
Yeah. This is the best time to play War Machine in a new tournament because no one knows what the fuck.
Yeah. Exactly. The meta there is just gonna be all over the place.
When I played Dan on the weekend, and even when Dan played Jordan, you know, pre-measuring existed, and it definitely came into play. But it was nice. You'd measure before a charges, so there was none of this in the shenanigans. You just knew before you put things in there.
Yeah,
I would say we pre-measured maybe a half dozen things in our game. It was still basically it was a very.
Were any of you playing ranged heavy lists?
Dan's second list was very ranged heavy that he played, and even against me, he had a bunch of jacks. So there was pre-measuring here and there, but it still was not like something that took more than 3 to 4 minutes.
I don't expect it to eat a ton. No. I don't expect to eat. I expect it to be very powerful, but I don't expect to eat a ton.
I'm assuming they're going to change death clocks. 75 points used to take a lot longer, but I'm assuming it won't take as long now because it's a different point scale.
If it's the same like model count as 50, I don't see it really changing. But
until we have the packet, we don't know.
Because I would hate for the time. I hope the time at 75.
If the time goes up for 75, I will be sad because tournaments will last forever.
I think it should still be 60. If 75 is the new 50, like you make a list, like you're a couple models down, it's about the same.
Yeah. I'm a couple models up in most of my lists in Rhett.
It depends on like.
But like not a lot. Like I'm not talking an extra unit. I'm talking like an extra solo or two.
Yeah, like.
And I'm really curious. Brian mentioned this before we started, but I really am curious if people are going to give 100 points a chance. Like, I really wonder what we're
going
to
see.
I am curious.
I was actually going to say something about that. I'm sitting here trying to build a list, and 75 points is way too tight.
Like, you think it's a lot of points, then you start adding Battle Group, and it's like, this is 20, this is 12.
Yep.
It's like, it adds up.
I didn't have that problem with
Rhett.
I just didn't.
So I think we might start seeing 100 points. I hope people who run events in Madison, all 18 press gangers, none of which run anything anymore because they're all bums.
That's true.
I
know what it is? You know I don't have any trouble in Rhett? Is because I cut out 4 points of Ayana and Holt, or 8 Mark 3 points of Ayana and Holt out of
that,
every
yep,
list.
That actually would
that's explain. Why I'm not tight anymore. Did they
have 75 points, by the way?
I don't think it's been confirmed what the point level is.
On the page, I just looked at it today, it still says 50 points, but remember we asked Travis, and Travis said it's going to be 75. Like,
if it's 50 points, that's almost impossible.
50 well, no, it's just them not updating it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be updated.
It just hasn't been updated.
I think everyone expects 75.
Yeah.
But I really want to, I think, because when I played Mark II, and I played 50, I loved it. When I played 75, I wanted someone to put a gun to my head and this shoot.
The game lasts too long. The game lasts way too long.
I really don't think 100 will take longer because it's more, but I don't think it's going to be that feel between 50 and 75 one. I think it's going to be more like a 35 to 50 where it was more, but it wasn't an obscene amount more. Yeah.
I feel like at 75 points, my options are a little limited on what I'm used to bringing.
That might be okay, but you're right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then it's what they want.
When I go to 100, I feel more like I'm building a 50-point list, but I just have to take an extra beast.
If I were to take my list from 75 to 100, quite honestly, what I would add is support.
Yeah.
My lists right now are very, very support light. which is weird to me in Rhett.
My Scorn is exceptionally light. I mean, in Mark II, I always wanted to be light, but man, now I'm like, do I need any support? I have in all those I've made so far, I have one unit of support or one B support and nothing else. I don't have solo support. Super low.
They gave me the option to take a third Arcanist. And I'm like, no, really, two's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so light on support. And like, who doesn't want a third Arcanist?
Exactly.
Like it's an amazing
solo. But then there's people who would be like, that 25 points gets them two full units sometimes, depending on the point cost. And like, that's not what PP wants. Like, they want tighter games with more jacks. Because that's
the problem, is if you actually give me 100 points and I actually let my... I want to be a jackass who just wants to win flag fly. I'm going to go out and buy 6 units of Sentinels.
I mean, I'm going to play 9
units. I'll put 6 units on the table, and then I'm going to just push them forward, and I'm going to pretend I'm playing a Doom Reaver spam list.
I mean, I'm going to put 9 units. I'm putting 9 units of characters on the table on 100-point game.
That's why I don't think 100 points going to kick off, because not what PP wants.
Correct.
I think it invites spam
lists. But it does. But the points, where the points end up is where the community is most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, PP at Mark. I mean, I really feel they kind of tried to push the rule to 75 points in Mark II.
They did. They wanted it, and the community fought back against it.
And it'll come down to maybe 75 points in 6 months will be where everyone wants to be, and that's cool. Like, I'm not saying what it should be. I think you're going to see something more experiments at the higher points, and I think you're going to see less resistance.
We'll see where the meta adjusts.
What I would have really liked to see, and I don't think that PP is going to do this, but maybe, I don't know, is I would have really liked to see them reserve themselves the option to set something in the middle. To say, you know what? 75 feels like it's not quite where you want it. We're going to make it 85. And we're going to play 85 for 6 months now and see how people's lists develop. Because I feel like one of the great things about the extra points that was not executed quite as cleanly in Legion as it was in Rhett is that they have this great option with the greater point scale and the greater point differential to differentiate things. And in Rhett, you see that a lot. You see a point here and a point there fluctuating. And in Legion, we literally have every single unit in Legion is one of two costs. There are two costs for Legion units. And it's either cost A or it's cost B. Because swordsmen and legionnaires and like gargoyles and like a few other things are all the same price. And then there's the other things that are all the same price. And it's like, really, guys? Like, you did all this effort to split it up, and you executed it so well in some of the other factions, like Rhett. Like, I know Cirrus didn't fluctuate much, but I think they actually implemented Cirrus better that way the first time. And there is a little bit of fluctuation in Cirrus. And, like, one of the things that I noticed in Rhett is, like, they really used that extra point of play to make characters characters and non-characters non-characters. Like, a non-character really is an extra point cheaper than that character, but then they made that character an extra point cooler. Like, I think they did a really good job of implementing that. And then on Legion, I just feel like they didn't.
Yeah.
And so I would love to see the opportunity to, in 6 months, say, you know what? Things aren't quite the way we want it. Let's try 85.
Yeah.
And maybe they will. But I don't think that's the way they're thinking.
They might. With them saying they want more of, like, a living rule book, like the version numbers, like, I could honestly see, like, Steamroller getting maybe, like, a change halfway through the year.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
I still wonder, because I know Privateer Press still is pretty cautious on changes. I think we're going to see more, but I still wonder.
I don't think a change like that's likely. I think if they were going to make an option like that, it would have been in the core rules. They would have been like, you can play it 75, 85, 95, 105. Yeah. And instead they said 75 or 100.
Yeah, there could have been there was always the European 42, fuck that system.
Yeah, but that's... See
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the European
87.2.
Nazis. That point two model will be fascinating. The legs of a war dog.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll into trolls real quick.
God damn it.
That will be quick.
Yep. I was super stoked to play trolls when the new edition of War Machine kind of got teased and dropped. Not so much anymore.
But that Madrek too.
The thing is that there are a few casters that are really interesting and unique and cool and got really like cool buffs to them. Like Madrek 2 is going to be an unstoppable powerhouse. Like you have to think about him if you have a troll player in your meta.
Yeah.
But like things like
Ossian.
Things like
sorry, that was a high five with our dicks over here.
Yeah. I wasn't super yippy about their new caster from the battle box. I feel like he doesn't have like a play style of his own. He just doesn't feel like he has a clearly defined game plan like some of these other ones do. Gristle 2 got really good with having like rate of fire 3 on her gun and not having to choose between the 3 different type of calls she could do. She can do, you know, 2 of one and then 1 of another one. She can stack it up however she wants.
And it feels very powerful. Like, I think it's good.
And then Kalandra going up to Fury 8.
And she kept all of her abilities, right?
Kept all of... Star-crossed on Fury 8. There is one that she lost, and it was Salt. Or Mercy. No, it was
Mercy
on Killer. Salt. Mercy on Salt. Yeah. So she lost the additional die against damage, which did win me a game against Butcher.
I was going to say that came up once for you in the year you were playing EE.
It was pretty good. I think that the changes to Cavalry are really going to help out Borka 2 a lot, but I felt like he didn't really get enough to make him feel cool to me. Like, he's just kind of a bully caster that can go really far, and that's about all I really got out of
him. Does the counter charge still affect him for his spell?
Yeah, because it's battle group.
Well, there was one Cavalry thing I noted. Cavalry models that can counter charge can make impact attacks.
Yep.
So he can impact attack on his way to his charge target and kill an extra two or three guys.
Yep, and then he does have trash on the trash and crit knockdown on the mount. So,
which is nice.
Yeah, I did notice a lot of mounts got
crit knockdown. And he can boost the hit on the mount.
Yeah, well, he just gets
there's no stipulation.
Boost when he charges. His is just boosted. Okay,
yeah,
but you can boost mounts now.
Yeah, yes. You can do it. The things that I'm really like that really kind of like took the wind out of my sails for trolls was the drop in fury on all the beasts except for one or two.
Yeah.
Three, if you count the Glacier King.
And Mulg got just curb stomped.
Mulg got pounded, but he's still the only reach heavy that we have.
Yep.
So I feel like maybe with him getting hit down a little bit, maybe we'll get another reach heavy eventually.
Maybe.
But the thing for me right now is like what they did with Rock makes me feel like he's just going to take his place in a lot of situations.
Rock just feels strictly better.
Yep. And the Earthborn really hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just... That's hard to even look at. I hate reading that card.
When I first saw the Earthborn, I was like, okay, this thing got hurt really bad. It having the immunities to everything is really cool. Losing the Transmute really blows. Losing the ability to put out his Animus to other people really sucks.
Yep.
And then when I saw the Bouncer, it just hurt even more. I was like, okay, so a Mauler is the same points, is significantly better, and if I want that Animus on my caster, I can take a Bouncer who has Shield Guard, so I'm much more
Because that Animus is amazing. Like, the no-knockdown, it's a great Animus.
It is.
It's too bad you can just take almost half the cost.
And a Shield Guard that you want in this edition anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So the infantry in general for trolls, there's some unique things. Like, I think everybody's kind of tried to put together the Megatron of champions with X casters so we can get them up to 16. Like, Borka can get them there, Gristle can get them there.
Yeah.
And having 1-inch reach is massive for them.
Yep.
It's huge. And warders picked up a lot, too. They didn't get their Weapon Master back, but they went up in speed, and now they all have Shield Guards. So
a unit of Shield Guards is legit in this
edition. A unit of Shield Guards with that high armor is really good.
Don't they just get up to armor 18, 19 every turn?
19, yep. And then 21.
Just for being base to base. 21 with the stone. Like, 21 armor Shield Guards that you just have five of them.
Yeah.
That you can...
They're,
and did your solo keep the ability to heal?
Yeah, you still have
the heal on it. Yeah, so she can still park around there.
But you've just got this weird brick that has a weird time getting delivered or the way that it has to get stacked up, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing, I guess, that I get at with trolls the most is that a lot of their infantry took hits that I don't think were completely necessary. I know the Burrowers got hit really hard, and people use them a lot. I get it. But I think they got put down to a point where they're just going to be shelf warmers now.
The Burrow feels like hot garbage.
Mm-hmm. Burrow did need something, but that seems like that went...
It went really bad. I think there's a UA in the future that fixes them, like it did the Bushwhackers,
then that'd be fine.
Then I'll be okay with it. My last, like, I guess the overarching thing with trolls in general is that I feel that Privateer Press wanted to reassert their feel or their theme, and it just doesn't. It feels like it took it way too far from what I as a troll player identified within them. Like, I don't feel the hardiness anymore. They just feel like something that bricks up and
they lost three runes kind of across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tuffalo's
kind of that's the thing though.
I said kind of.
I know, kind of.
Man,
that was a big hit.
The change that combined with Tuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
Yeah, it hurts quite a bit. And then, like, the little infantry is where it really hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, the Creel Warriors just kind of become fodder and chaff now. I really don't think I'll take them.
I don't know why you would. Like, before, they were a real problem to clear. Like, legitimate, like, your dice get hot, and I just don't kill any of them. And, man, that was a wasted fucking turn.
Yeah.
But now, it's just like, oh, I just shoot them all twice. All right, well, I'm going to take one of the several units that got made good that are dual shot.
Well, the big thing with them is that they lost their ability to buff themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the big one, because the UA still gives them steady. So, like, they still have, if they explode on the tough rolls, then they're good and golden. But they don't have the plus two to hit or plus two speed in Pathfinder, I think it was, that they got. Maybe yeah. they didn't get Pathfinder.
How many points are they?
I think they are...
7-11, Creel Wars.
Okay.
11 points, that's still good. 11 points.
And that UA is only 3, so 14 points.
But if you look
points...
at the Fen Blades... In comparison,
oh, yeah, that's where
this
we're
is where
there.
Things get weird with them, because they're the UA for the Crow Warriors.
I have a question. Where is this? Where is this no knockdown?
It should be on the UA.
It
should
not.
Give them steady.
No, it
oh no,
them,
does
he
give
rise.
Them reposition?
He has rise.
Yeah, that's
not
way
the same. No.
All right, so then they're just still
they're
hot
just garbage.
Garbage.
So we can ignore that last yeah. 5 minutes.
But yeah, the Fen Blades just seem like they outclass them.
Yeah,
in every way, and they're just about the same point value.
They're 15, which is a big. It's a noticeable difference, but.
But yeah. their UA is 1 point cheaper, whereas
yep.
the other one is 1 point more expensive.
Yeah. And they've got no quarter. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day,
and
no quarter is still 100% legit even without terror. Yeah.
No quarter with cleave.
Yep. Big deal.
And vengeance. And they always
and reposition three.
Well, they all, like, Trolls Across the Board gained a lot of reposition three, and it felt like they were like, oh, well, this will just make up for some things.
They have more reposition than Circle.
They have a lot of reposition. And the problem with reposition on a melee, on a ranged unit, don't get me wrong, reposition is a baller rule on a ranged unit. But on a melee unit, reposition doesn't ignore free strikes. And
until
if someone.
Tari has it, and they have parry, so it's pretty.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. See, that's
but, like,
good.
As someone who plays Halberdiers that have had quote unquote reposition for years, like, at most, it lets me advance in a little bit more, but it doesn't have the impact that they seem to think it has. It's not like I can run in and hit your front line and then back up 3 inches. Like, that just never works out.
Yeah, because ooh. You're backing up the exact distance they need to charge you.
Yeah, so now they can all charge me, or I made it so that I take free strikes, or if I try to move in a little bit, like it lets you unclump if you're unclumped up on something, but that only matters if you don't have reach. And like Halberdiers have reach, and Fenblades have reach. Like, they don't need to reposition because you can just do your charges intelligently.
Yeah. Yeah, but Halberdiers, I think, like, are the exception to that. Like, because reposition three with shield guard or shield wall is really good.
It's great on turns where you're shield walling up the field. What yeah. I'm saying is on the turn you go
I
in.
I know, on the turn you go in, it's like I can bury myself deeper because you're not getting away. You have to throw them on farther just to be a meat shield.
And then yeah. it's just like, and then like, yeah, it's not a bad rule. I don't. It's kind of like, it's one of those rules that's nice to have, but on a melee unit, I don't feel that it's terribly valuable. I don't feel like it's worth what they lost.
Exactly. So. But the, you know, that being said, I'm not completely down on trolls. I'm just going to take like a breather from them so I can just get into it. I'm playing factions that I really
so
am.
So what are you going to play for the next four
right,
weeks?
Right now I'm in Kador pretty deep, but Mercs is kind of like, I twiddle with those a little bit, but Kador is the big one right now. Like Matt 7 Juggernauts and... Karchev alone getting massively yep. better, even though his spell became a feat instead,
yeah.
is still huge. Like, I'm starting to get the interactions of how Warpath works or Road to War. And
yeah with, once you get that down, it's yeah. huge, especially in a faction with snipers.
Especially in a faction where the 3-inch move is almost like a full advance. It's really close, because they're all speed 4. I think that's the thing that I'm really excited about. And, like, Winter Guard Rifle Corps becoming, like, the go-to unit. Having CRA from 14 inches.
And being able to take rockets, too.
Yep, and being
holy
able to put rockets
crap.
In. Have
yeah, men
brutal.
Units with 3 rockets is going to be big.
It's like the difference between... Yeah, it's
War Room can't handle that right now. It's
I know, exactly. I cannot,
but
even get it.
Sorry, you're fine. No, but it is legit. The other thing that you're not even mentioning about Karchev is he has 30 fucking Warjack points.
Yep, he is. He's got...
Why does he have that many like, Warjack points?
I don't know.
Well, but, that was in the other edition, he was only 5, I think.
Yeah, he was low. Yeah.
He was really low because he was a Warjack. Mm-hmm. And usually, like Brian was saying, when you bring something that brings extra stuff to the table, you
he
get
stole McKay to 2's Warjack points. That's where they went.
Yep, that
hijacked
that sneaky Karchev. So yeah, no, I spent a long time building up this like extreme Karchev conversion. That's
which looks
like
phenomenal.
It is almost as tall as a Conquest.
It seems acceptable.
It's pretty legit.
It's a solid 8 inches tall. Mm-hmm. Like. Jesus.
Compensating for something.
I have a whole battle group of extreme juggernauts.
And countercharge. Like, did you mention countercharge?
Countercharge.
I just had a stroke.
I know.
Yeah, but you can't have Warpath and countercharge up.
I'm going to be honest. There are matchups where screw Road to War. It's a great spell.
It is.
But there are matchups where if you have countercharge.
Well, Jordan was saying, if he fights another jack heavy list,
yeah,
countercharge. Yeah,
yeah.
Fight infantry,
yeah.
Road to War.
Yeah, it gives you options.
But yeah, if you're playing
really
like a jack heavy list or anything that wants to come in with hard targets in melee and you've got ice axes everywhere, oh my
Matt
God.
Seven
Matt 7 ice axes.
Yep, it's a huge deal.
Countercharge is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. I'm really digging everything about Kador so far. There's nothing in the faction that I'm completely upset about.
I am always pro melee armies because fuck wimps and bitches with guns. So I hope Karchev could just...
Should we high five again over our guns?
Yeah, we should.
High five all you want. End of the day.
So good.
Still kick your asses.
You know what kills Karchev?
Ossian.
With Mage Hunter Strike Force.
That's the tough thing, is that I still feel like I have to have Ragers in every list that I play.
I'm not going to lie. In a ret-heavy environment, I think Karchev's going to get beat out of you really hard.
Well, then I just ret. Have a
You
have
just
a
need
secondary.
A ret list.
I need a ret list, and he can just sit there and do whatever, because the way I built this list is that he does everything.
He's going to be great against most things. I just don't think you want to drop him.
I think your ret drop, incidentally, will take care of
Crix. My Crix drop is the mic.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. It's like, Crix, not a problem anymore. How do we deal with Rex?
Crix is adorable.
So yeah, I guess like that basically like encompasses all the factions that I do. The theme force for Cephalax is really fun. Like, I'm enjoying playing in a battle group heavy environment. Being able to throw 50 dudes on the table is still really fun.
And dirt cheap monstrosities.
How cheap are they again?
They're it's 14 points for a wrecker and 10 points for a warden, so 5-7 with the translation. Yeah, the subduer I just don't really care about right now.
Yeah, who has the double long
the chains, the wrecker. He's
14 cost. Points.
Where you can anatomical precision, get your 3 focus, and then just psychosurgery every turn.
The 10 point cost one is PAL 14, 3 initials with Grand Slam and follow up and Shield Guard.
And you take like 2 or 3 of them, and then you take 2 or 3 other ones.
Yeah, what I've done right now, my battle group is still Wrecker Warden, and then massive bodies with Thexus. When I look at playing Siphon more, I think it'll probably be like
more beasts or more
like maybe 2 to 3 Wreckers and maybe 2 Wardens.
Gotcha.
But the subduer, even though the knockdown shot's cool, I'm just not really seeing a reason to pull him.
Yeah,
it is worth noting about the monstrosities. I know a lot of people have been saying, oh, they can get unlimited focus, but it is built right into the rules that a Jack can't have more than mm-hmm. 3. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, I can just keep punching it.
But the worst thing in the world is going to be the situation with the Hydra, where the worst thing in the world is to almost kill it. Like, never, ever almost kill a monstrosity, because you just loaded it up for free,
especially,
and they can heal him.
Every caster has has a way to heal him.
Unless you took off
the just
brain.
Innately. Spend focus to heal.
I don't think they can innately do it.
They did in Mark 2.
Oh, okay. No, I read that in Mark
2. All right, then they can. That's
it's the exact same rule as with the Horde's Beast. You're just like, spend a focus, heal. Mm-hmm.
But those two factions have got me really excited to play that part of the game. Eventually, I'll probably come back to Trolls, because they're kind of like my home base. But I'm feeling especially with Butcher 3. God, I can't talk enough about Butcher 3 and how he just got better.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Significantly.
Because he didn't kill enough, according to Privateer Press. Like, I know he said that sarcastically, but it kind of came off like a dick.
But you probably shouldn't say that, because he killed everything always.
But POW 18, well, the thing is, with the Iris 2 change, he didn't reliably kill 2 Colossals a turn, so he needed that
but
back.
But now he can.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, getting POW 18 Weapon Master if you want it is a really big deal.
And maybe upkeeping for free if you have Silas, but that's passing up a War Dog.
It's tough
that's
stuff.
That's treacherous territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, not taking the dog is tough.
I think like Jordan has glued a War Dog to all of his Butcher models.
it's hard not to.
One arm has an axe, the other arm just has...
Carries a puppy.
Carries a puppy. He has one hand those weapons now.
One of the... I guess there's one
caster. He has two puppies too, because one dies occasionally, so he just shits one out.
There's one caster that really got elevated, in my opinion, and it's Zirkova 1.
Yes.
Like, she went from being the caster that I never once put on the table outside of a Who's the Boss tournament, and now she's one where, like, when the meta shifts around a little bit more and I feel like she becomes more, like, interesting or relevant, she'll be something that I'll actually consider going into my pairings, and her second version is still good, too. Like,
well, I one just... deals with fucked with guns, right? And that's, I think you're going to see guns being a big deal out of the gate, and I think, things are going to shift. What's good, you know, what's amazing, like, Ossie might be good right now. Maybe he'll be good long-term, but, you know, some of this good out of the gate stuff is going to change over time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, we can only look at the face value of, like, here's what it is at its core. It's good at its core, and then when the meta builds around that, we kind of have to work with some shifting pieces. But I think that when I look at Kador as a faction as a whole, I'm really noticing that I have answers to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I can sit there and take the heckles from Rhett constantly about, oh, whatever you put on the table, I just kill. But the thing is I have legitimate options to play against it. It's just that I actually have to pull my head out of my ass and play a good, clean game.
Well, it's not just playing a good, clean game. It's going to be a mindset that I think a lot of people are going to... Like, it's hard to wrap your mind around, God, do I need a Rhett answer list.
Mm-hmm. Like, at first you think you're joking.
I played Rhett, and I was just like, well, I'll just play either one of them. Do you want me to roll a dice for which list I play against you? Because I don't care. You're playing Rhett. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to raffle stomp you. And that's...
Well, luckily, it's like, I need to care about guns. And obviously, no, Rhett has some melee stuff. But in general, you need to have defense against, like, the range. And at least Signar's going to have the range.
Signar's going to have the range threat, too.
So you're going to have the couple... And they're going to be a big factor. So I mean,
they're going to be a big deal. Signar did not get nerfed. Don't get me wrong.
So everyone else is going to have to deal with, like, okay, how do I handle guns? And, like, for Scorn, it's going to be Kriya. Because, I mean... Or Prelic Aura's got changed, but it's still plus defense, and it's no blast damage, which helps a lot against Kator Shinnok, because Kator's all about
high
damage.
Yeah,
they got high explosive.
So Kriya's are a big deal against that, plus the plus two defense. We got some deflection. We got like Scorn got a variety of ways to up the defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is weird.
Like it's not what I'm used to seeing with Scorn, but it is cool.
It's different. The whole thing shifted, and I think it's going to be a while before people figure out what's cool.
Yeah, the meta will adjust, but I do think like everyone needs at least one shield guard. Like after they leaked that Iris 1 card.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. Like you need a shield guard, Warcaster or Warlock. Like you just die.
Yeah, like it's just real
you
bad.
You die. Like if you're building an assassination list, like she is the first thing you add if you can take her. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. And the thing is, she's an extra kick in the nads for hordes. Because it's just like, oh, you have your fury exactly worked out. Excellent, you're short three or you're short two. Like,
or you're short four.
I'm just
going to
dick with you all game until I shoot your caster.
How do you feel about flying shield guards, Amanda?
Flying shield guards? Yep. I have plenty.
Protectors.
I have Steel Soul protectors. I have conservators. I have Lucant, who makes everything shield guard. Like it's not a concern of mine.
Yeah, Convergence doesn't have a problem with shield guard.
Yeah,
like that is not a thing they struggle
with.
Convergence also kind of gained like the most hardy infantry in the game right now.
Their infantry and their recursion is, in my opinion, better than what Krix brings to the table these days.
It's just that they lost the two foundries, and that's the really hurdy thing.
I have plenty foundries if anyone wants a couple.
Well, maybe the theme forces.
Yeah,
we'll see.
If they remake that monster, I
hope they don't, because that was dumb.
I think Watt would be ecstatic.
I have five extra void spirits.
Yeah. you saw the rule first and you went out and bought 20.
No, I just have it because of my theme, my Mordekaar theme force.
Well, you can keep five of them because it's Mordekaar's affinity with his War Beast. He poops one out.
Yeah, but I mean...
He poops one out every
always,
turn.
You'll take two. That thing will kill something, poop another one out, but one of them is going to die. I mean, you're always going to have like two to three on the table. You're not going to get up to eight. If you're up to eight, you're rolling your opponent so well. I mean, you're giggling the entire way, but you don't. I mean, it's an anomaly. But you know, we haven't seen the Scorn Theme Force. Maybe we'll have a Theme Force that shits them out.
I mean,
I do like the Theme Force, what they're doing with them. It's like you get the bonuses off the bat, and then it's like take X things, and a lot of them are just going to say get a couple of free generic things. Yeah. I like that simplicity of it.
Yeah, it is pretty simple. The Cephalax theme was since it's the only one we have, it's the one I played recently. Like, it's very unique. I did forget about hyper aggressive on the beasts in the game against Kane too, so that probably could have helped.
That might have helped a little.
But it was nice to just have the extra rules put on them and not have to worry about all these other convoluted things.
And they showed us a few of them in the thing.
Yeah, they showed one of the Menoth ones.
But they didn't show what you had to take to get those
Menoth.
Yeah. Correct. But I'm not a huge fan of like getting in-game rules for playing in theme, because it's like certain units, like gun mages, if you take that theme, they leak to get CRA. And it's not something that breaks them, but it's like something that
if you're not
they should just have on their card.
Well, they do have alternate war room cards.
I feel like it'll get to the point at least where if you're not taking a theme, then you probably aren't doing something right.
But I hope that's not the case. Like, I don't want a world where it's nothing but theme forces. Like, I agree, what they've spoiled of theme forces, I feel like you're just going to always play a theme force. But I don't want to live in that world.
Well, it depends on what you have to take to get them.
I mean, it depends on what the theme forces do. If the theme forces are all moderate, like the ones they're showing, I don't care. It's when you get these extreme shenanigans.
Like, I don't think you're going to see extreme things, but I think it's going to be the Veil 2 problem, which hers was extreme, and I realized it needed to be toned back, and that's fine. She didn't need to get kicked in the crotch 14 times in the process, but like, her Theme Force was just patently better than anything you could build out of theme for her.
Correct.
And I don't want that. I don't want to be. I don't want to feel like, oh, I can never design a better list than what they gave me a Theme Force for. Whatever, I guess I'll play the Theme Force.
Theme Force for your list, and you insert any caster you want, and then you know, pick the unit. But, so it's still, it'll be, we'll see. I mean,
who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, it's something we can't really say anything about until we see it, because they still haven't even finished playtesting it, because they leaked that kind of, I remember on the forums they leaked that Merc one, they're like, oh, Mercs can play this theme and take any unit from Protectorate, or Signar, Kador. Or Kador, and then the first thing someone's like, so you mean I can take Choir?
Choir.
And they're like, yes. they're like, it's still being playtested.
And it's in faction. Okay, I'll take Choir. Done.
It becomes friendly faction.
The other big thing I missed about Mercs was, like, I had to do a double take when I saw that Idrians were Merc models now, and Precursors were Mercs. I was just like, okay, so I don't need to play Bad Seeds to get that.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, oh man, now I need Idrians. It sucks that they're so expensive, but
yeah, they did that. They did that across the board. Everything became a Merc or Minion, and then has the partisan role as opposed to the weird other way.
Yeah. And as an aside to that, when I did unbox the Kador deck that I got, I did get the partisans in the box,
but not the Mercs
that work for me, which does suck.
That's unfortunate.
But it was nice to see at least the partisans in there.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
As someone who pretty much only plays with cards, I'm going to try, because I don't have a choice at first, to play with just War Room. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I can do it. Like, I love War Room. War Room's amazing. I regret nothing about having purchased all the decks for War Room. I just don't know that I can actually, like, track damage in War Room and play everything in War Room. Like,
I did it on Sunday because I had no choice.
Because you had no choice.
And it wasn't bad. I mean, I label my, like, I usually label all my models A, B, C, D, and War Room labels everything 1, 2, 3, 4. So if I would, I'd have to, like, re...
See, but, like, for me, and it's dumb, and I know that, but, like, my Griffin Span Lymph with Virus 2, every one of my Griffins is a character from Firefly, and I have their names on the back. And on their cards, I just wrote in permanent marker their names. They each have, like, I got them on their own cards because it's the fucking Griffin Span list, and it's amazing.
Yes.
And so I just wrote, you know, their actual name on there. But, like, I can't put in here, this one is Mal.
Here's the issue that I encountered with cards. As I was sleeving mine today, I noticed that I got one TEP, which is FA2.
What?
And they only included enough, like, one wound set for one.
And see, for the solos, they did it the other way, where one card damage trap grids for all the solos.
It seems like it's pretty exclusive to Battle Engines and UAs. So I have the TEP, this FA2, but they gave me one card, one wound set. My Transverse Enumerator, FA3, one card, one set of wounds. It's very frustrating because I know when I'm looking at the Transverse Enumerator, if I'm running units, I'm going to want...
Three of them.
Yeah. If I have three units, I'm going to have three of them, and now I only have one card. What do?
Yeah.
I have to buy the little plastic things, I have to buy additional cards, or I have to use War Room.
At museumminis.com.
Nice product placement.
I don't think I'm breaking any copyright laws when I state that you could also photocopy the card and put it in a sleeve on top of any other card.
Probably not, but it's still just, it is frustrating.
I would never do that all the time.
But I still prefer War Room because, like, we already talked about, like, there's day one Aratus coming. There are 11 circle cards that need Aratus, and I don't want to play against somebody who has the old cards and hasn't gotten a new update deck that'll be out in 6 months.
But you just need to keep track of which card is which V1.02, right?
Because that's the thing. How do you know, like, if it's version 1.2 or 1.3, how do you know which one's the most up-to-date?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, sure, I know that there's version 3 of this, but the guy...
But not every card has a version 3, so...
Yeah.
Like, but that helps.
Like, I know World Guardians are losing sturdy because Soul said it, but my current card doesn't say that, and if I go to a tournament and
And your opponent assumes it has steady.
Or sturdy. Or sturdy is worse.
Sorry, sturdy. Sorry.
It does not want sturdy.
Yeah, it has steady. It doesn't want sturdy.
Mm-hmm. It does not want sturdy.
Yeah.
I'll get to that when we go circle.
Yeah, I guess we can do some circle stuff, and then we can get into...
Well, let me do 30 seconds of Legion.
Okay, so 30 seconds. Do we need to do another Legion podcast?
Oh, I'm planning to. Actually, I'm 100% planning to. Anyone who enjoyed the first Legion podcast and watching me call things unplayable trash... Spoiler alert, that phrase is going to get used for Mark 3.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're going to have to get... I mean, and I don't disagree that it probably happened, but you do have to get
I do need to get it on the table.
Games in.
I do not have the strength of character as a person to put Legion on the table currently as they are in Mark 3. I am going to need about 3 months with a lot of crying and soul-searching and prayer before I will be ready to go to any sort... Like, maybe on a Wednesday night, sure, whatever. But, like, to go to a competitive event carrying Legion, I don't have the strength of character that I won't... Take one of my models
JVM
and shove it up someone's ass.
The table the next year.
I'm sure he like the thing Legion. Is JVM only plays Legion, and I'm sure he will find a way to play Legion well. I don't have any doubt about that. That's great. I enjoyed Legion and Rhett both, And I still could only play Ret for, in Mark II, could only play Ret for about 2 months before I was like, my soul aches, and if I go to another event with Ret, I'm going to do something I regret, and there will be one less player in our meta. So I'm going to go back to Legion for a while. And I think I'm going to have the opposite problem in Mark III, where like I'm going to play Legion for a while. I'm not going to play it right away. I'm going to play Ret right away. But I'm going to play Legion for a while, and I'm going to be like, man, I cannot... I just can't make it happen.
Well, we'll get you a new faction.
I might play some Akkadian Circle, except I think, as Ethan's going to probably point out here in a minute, I'm mildly mwah about Circle as well, although their new Battle Box caster...
Well,
and I think
she's the saving grace of Circle.
I think even with me, I think Hordes is just different, and I think we're going to see within the next 6 months to a year, is going
to
be fine in a different way. Like we're approaching Hordes the same way, and it's just not the same thing.
Here's the thing. And I've said this on the forum, and I've vented my spleen about it, but what they're trying to do with Hordes is make you play more infantry because they were tired of everyone playing either all beasts or all heavy infantry. That's great. Except what they did to, and I'm using giant air quotes here, help Legion infantry did not make it competitive. And what they did to nerf, and I'm using air quotes again, our beasts worked effectively as hell. Like, yeah, our infantry might be better than our beasts now, but that's because our beasts are shit. And I don't play Legion because I want to push around my little men. If I want to push around my little infantry soldiers,
that
I'm going to go play Ret.
Thing's amazing.
The Helmut thing's amazing, and I'm super sad I don't own. I told Amanda on Facebook today, I was like, if I had known that you were going to be in line, because I didn't realize till she was already there and I didn't want to like bother, I would have like offered you my firstborn child to bring me back 2 Helmouts, because that thing is amazing.
Yeah, you would have put me up to the $500 mark, probably.
I'd 100% have done it.
Which I still have strong feelings about, and I really want to bring this up when we get there.
But anyway... I am super disappointed in Legion. I think that there's probably some lists there. I think there's some things that are playable. But I think there are some things that were done to the faction as a whole that were... This is a problem in a vacuum, but they didn't address it. And it reminds me of what they did to the Bronze Back. It reminds me of what they did to Mulg, where they're like, okay, so we're going to take a Fury off the Bronze Back. Great. That makes sense. And a completely different designer in a different room said, you know what's unfair? Free charges from the Beast Handlers. And we're going to take away that. And both of those ideas are good, and both of those ideas are right, and both of those ideas are fair. And when you do both to the Bronze Back never sees the table again.
Janessa Earthborn.
Yeah, Janessa Earthborn. We're going to... being able to put a wall on demand is too good. Being able to give out an animus that whenever a wall is nearby is +2 armor in a faction that's high armor is too good. Both of those in a vacuum, good decision. Doing both means the Earthborn's a piece of rotting shit.
That you will never pass up a
because the Earthborn
for.
Still has the wall rule, but now you can't put walls down, so who gives a fuck?
Yep.
Well, there's still...
And
you
lost the ability to
walls.
Steal the powerful weapon, too.
I don't... Yeah, yeah. And, like, for Legion, it feels the same... Like, Spiny Growth becoming ranged self, I'm okay with. Tenacity being everywhere in our faction and it being a problem because it was on a 2-point model, I'm okay with. What I'm not okay with is they were like, all right, we're going to take Tenacity off the Shredder. Great. No argument here. Then we're going to take the Stinger and we're going to make it worse. Okay. Sure. Then we're going to take the Harrier and we're going to take away Free Strike, or the True Strike. The fuck are you talking about? The thing's Mat 5. The thing all can't hit shit without its Animus. It is a Mat 5 solo killer. What is Mat 5 ever hitting? Ever? Because the whole thing about the Harrier was it could go outside your control area and go hit a solo. But nope, not anymore. Now it's a piece of rotting shit that, like...
It'll kill a solo in your control because you'll force one to hit.
You'll
charge for one, you boost
my,
to hit.
Oh, my God.
It dies.
Oh, my God.
Hordes is different. You know what? In 6 months, I might be, like, throwing my Scorn in a trash can. I don't know. But I just need to play it for 6 months.
And that's fine. And I admire
it. But when I look at it, I understand. I think Hordes overall, maybe not. I think Minions is the only one going. This is a whole new. I think Minions.
Yeah, Minions are the only
their
happy
world
Hordes.
Is opened up.
It's Minion Christmas. I understand that.
Yeah. And I think Hordes players will be concerned overall because things are so radically different. I just think we need a few months to know whether that's a bad thing or a good thing or an indifferent thing.
It's definitely different
and it's definitely scary.
Well,
very speculation. I get the fear because when I look at this stuff, I'm like, whoa. This is different and scary.
Yep.
But I've been through too many different and scary things enough to know that sometimes at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. Now, again, who knows? By December, I mean, every January I'm quitting the game lately. So, you know, we'll see in 6 months.
How into hibernation.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But anyway, so I am not thrilled about Legion, and I don't have the strength of character to make them work.
But
someone
you also
else
have the other faction like is really good, so why would you even bother with that?
And there is that.
It's hard to bring yourself down and try and make a faction work that you're not really happy with when you're like, I'm really happy with my other faction, that's why I'm taking a break from Circle.
Yeah, I didn't buy Legion because they were OP. I bought Legion because they were the Beast faction, and I was thrilled to play Beast because it's different than what Rhett does. And now Legion says, you wanted to play Beasts? That's adorable. Here's some shitty infantry you can play that are like Rhett counterparts, but not as good and cost more.
You know what? I don't like Legion Beast, so fuck them.
So anyway, I'm done. I'm done.
That was a little bit more than 30 seconds.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know you got going. I didn't want to stop you. I'm like,
I'm so worked up
right now. I know you are. I'm like,
give us your sorry, Austin. Your very few minutes.
All right, I'm all better now.
Few minutes of Circle. And then maybe we can fit in a small Amanda's corner and then get to Zappity's.
We don't need an Amanda's corner.
It's so you can bitch about Lock and Load for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, we should let you do
that. Or we can skip Zappity because I can go on and on about Circle. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Circle for a minute. Amanda's thing and we'll do recommendations.
Yep. Okay.
Go for it.
Sorry, Zappity people.
Well, I guess the big thing to talk about Circle is like the identity's changing. Like the Satyr's going down the 3 Fury, the difference from Warp Wolf, Sprint going down the range self on the Stalker, and like Circle's big 3 top casters, 2 of them are arguably just terrible, and the one of them got amazing. Bradagus, I do not know why I'll ever put him on the table. He got 8 different nerfs. I even like wrote him down. So he's rate of fire D3 on his gun instead of 3. He can't beat back off destroyed models. Has to go directly towards. Mystic Wards is target model in his battle group, not the whole battle group, which really sucks. And synergy caps at 3.
I will say synergy at 3, the game I played was still amazing when I played against
But Bradagus' game was not 3 synergy. It was have Bradagus be +7/+7.
But when he has to take only...
Why it doesn't exist anymore.
His list caps out at POW 20 with 1 model.
Yeah.
Because he can only take constructs, and that's Megalith, because he's POW 17
20
now.
20 gets the job done, trust me. 20, that is not bad.
You now when you're a Fury 3 War Beast...
Brian will learn that soon.
Yes. No, when you're a Fury 3 War Beast and you cap out at POW 20...
That
like,
doesn't charge for free.
Or I could just take Tanith and a Stalker or a Riphorn, anything with Prime. Like, they just need something.
You're
going
to get probably 3 or 4 attacks at a 20. I think that's what they're wanting most things to hit at. I think that's still...
Gedrick still gets the POW 23.
Yeah, it's like, great. Yeah.
Trivially, like, with 6 different casters.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't need synergy to do it in, like... Morvana, like we talked about, she took a digger because her Scales of Fate is command now 9. She can't transfer the big hits. She lost Purify. Like, she has Sensor, which is Purify, but you can choose to take D3 to
it's
keep...
It's shitty Purify that you can avoid.
Yeah, that you're going to take D3 to keep Crippling Grasps on my whole unit the whole turn, which you'll get now because Druids suck. And I'll get to that, too. But, like, Kruger got better. Like, the best caster in Circle is still the best caster
Kruger
in Circle. Yeah.
Kruger, too, yeah.
Like, he gained Rebuke. Yeah, you can charge during my feat turn, but now he fucks Shield Guard or Shield Wall units, which was a big problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't Shield Wall. You can't cast orders with that unit now. Like, he's just so much better. And he dicks over Signar. Like, why I ever will ever play another caster in the Signar besides him is beyond me. He gives immune to electricity in his command.
Nice. When I played him in Mark II for that month, it was a fucking fun month.
Yes, so. It is. Like, Kruger when you play Kruger 2, you have the best time in the world. You win scenario without killing a model. I have done that twice. You just do not lose destruction. It is almost impossible to lose destruction with Kruger. And it's like, he got even better. And like, Tanith, like you said, we were talking about Tanith, like... She is the ultimate turd polisher in the faction. She replaces Morvana 2, hands down.
She has the option to make it +8 defense, -8 defense swing.
Take your best defense caster, like Mordekaiser under feed, Ashlyn behind a wall with cover, anything. Like defense, like my best in Mark 2 was Thyron with defense 25. Reduce that by 14. No, reduce that by 15. The Wild Argus
Animus is
the best Animus in the game, and if they couldn't design models around Snipe being in certain factions, how did the Wild Argus Animus get out of the building? That Animus is the best Animus in the game, in my opinion, hands down. Does. Living in undead models within 2 inches of that model.
Bark one, right?
Yes.
Yep. Doppler Bark.
Yes.
Everything within 2 inches has their base defense reduced to 5, cannot run, charge, or make slam or trample attacks. For a round.
Does not work on constructs, though. It's living and undead,
living
right?
And undead.
Sure.
But so, like, any of the
Valtusis, fuck you!
He's one of the 7 casters in the game, besides Cyrus and Karchev, which I don't need help hitting Zal 2.
Hey!
But it's still, like, that's the thing. And then she has Affliction on top of it. Like, a unit of Reeves does 20 points of damage to your Jack, just trivially, with their POW 8 weapons.
You still won't get Ashlyn, though.
She's defense five.
It doesn't matter.
You have to get within 2 inches. That's some pretty good theory crap. You have to get that thing within 2 inches of my caster.
That's the downside. Like, yeah. He can charge nine with his Animus up. But then the thing is, like, it works on my caster. Like, Cro-Mac 2 going for an assassination, almost guaranteed. Cro-Mac 1, that Animus is bonkers on.
Yeah, Cro-Mac 1 puts that Animus on himself and then just goes, and you're dead.
Yeah. Like, his one weakness was hitting high defense casters, and now he just casts that, and then he buys his other 11 attacks at you. Like, he just kills casters.
That's rancid.
It's just always in the pocket. And then when you combine it with Tanith, like, I think you have her card pulled
Tanith up. Has Affliction for target model unit -2. She has Scything Touch, which we're
all that's not just it about Affliction. That's not even the best part of Affliction. You have to keep reading it.
And auto damage that you don't exceed armor.
So, Circle's big problem used to be cracking armor. Now I throw that on Jack. My little POW 8 Reeves kill your Jack.
Yeah.
Just like they murder it.
Yeah. Between Dark Shroud and Affliction, you're -2/-2. And then her gun is a 4-inch AoE with Shadowbind. So now you're -5/-2. Then we do for Primal, and you're -7/-4. And then all of her spells are cost -1. And all of the Animi on all of her beasts are cost -1 for her feet.
Like, I will literally
take. And she can channel through all of her beasts on her feet.
I will literally take my Vormvana 2 Woldwrath list with Reeves and run Tanith and be even better. The Woldwrath with her, she can put out 6 boosted to hit Reeves or bleeds on your caster. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so good. She like makes everything good. She cracks armor. She hits high defense. She just is the ultimate turd polisher. Like, her and Kruger 2 will be my pairing.
Yeah, there you go. You're fine.
Exactly. That's the thing. But like,
the only problem she has is she has Ossian stat line, but at least she has Prowl.
Yeah, she has Prowl, which is harder to get because Druids can't do it. And God, Druids got just face fucked. I hate to say that word on here, but yeah, I did.
Face?
Face.
Bad word. Face is a bad word.
Face.
Oh, yeah, and her gun that makes you Shadowbind has the rule from the stupid Merc Colossal where it ignores cover, concealment, and elevation. Nice. Yep, because why not?
Yeah, because she can always just tag you with that.
Because.
So she can get your caster down to defense 1.
Cool.
0. Yeah. There's no longer a limit. No,
you can't go below 0.
Still doing his thing. Yeah. Let him do
his thing. All right, we're done, Ethan.
Meanwhile, I can keep going about tweeting the Sony version of E3 to me, so you can keep going. I'm just getting all of this really important
I'll keep going.
News.
I'm just getting started on Circle.
Okay, you're done.
No.
You're done.
Lord of Feast, unplayable. Druids, trash.
All right, here you go.
Where's my cliff notes? Shaman, trash. No, I like the Shaman. But it's just like, even the Shifting Stone nerf is hurt. Completely within eight on the port. Prowl on the UA.
I will try to feel bad for the Stone nerf. I'm going to try so
I know. Nobody who doesn't play Circle is going to care, but it's like, Circle, like he even said in the inside, Circle is the hit and run faction.
Nope.
But they're not anymore. Sprint going range self, that Stalker, there's one caster in Circle that hands out free charges.
Oh, that's a lot.
I know. Yes. Compared to Scorn, it is.
1,000% more than Scorn.
Yeah. But like, so he has to Animus for 1, charge, and then kill a heavy with 4 attacks at POW 18 Warping Strength to come back and stay alive. Like, there is no hit and run in Circle anymore. And that reposition that Circle has actually isn't reposition because it's just reposition on the UA for Wolves of Orboros. It's not granted. I just noticed that this morning when I was reading it. I'm like, I think it needs to be errated, but it's bad. Counter magic's gone.
Tell us about Lock and Load.
Tell us about Lock and Load.
I don't know what you guys want to know.
You said you had something that you were dying to get off your chest.
Hello. I will stop reading all of the Sony E3 information that keeps popping up on my phone. I didn't spend a whole lot of time at Lock and Load. Wasn't the real reason why I was in Seattle. I spent like 6 hours there. Yeah, they're just busy talking. They don't want to hear this great story.
Sorry.
So it's the Privateer Press premiere convention, and it isn't all that premiere exciting. You walk in. I did not know where to go at first. The store was like 3 levels up. Eventually, Andy pointed out the store to me. I messaged him and said, "Help, I need a friend. I'm lost." Get to the store, wait in line for 3 hours, which is
standard.
Yeah. Buy my things. But the thing that really got me was, I guess this was their 2-year anniversary of their pins. And they were doing a promotion that you didn't know about until you were, like, halfway through the line to the store, and it was the only thing that they had really up there. If you spent $500 in the store in one single purchase, you were given a pin while supplies last.
Of course.
That was just a typical, it was a the it Jolly Roger logo with like two banners that just said like 2 year anniversary or something like that. And that was just really disappointing, I guess, having to suddenly be aware that you have to drop $500 in a store where it's possible to, but not everyone plans to.
Who's to get flying something to a convention to drop $500?
Because the thing is, you could organize it with friends maybe, but then they also have limits on number of things you can purchase. Like, you can buy one of each thing. Mm-hmm. So even if there's a new cool thing for your faction that's FA3, that's nice, buy one.
I mean, even 200 would be a pretty extreme number that would be pretty easy to hit.
I like
200 is high enough.
I dropped $323 in the store, and I only bought a handful of things for other people. I bought like two additional agonizers and
a striker.
The plushies.
So most of it was just stuff for me and Brian, but still, like, $300 was
a lot of money.
Yeah, it should have been $300.
Yeah,
because like if you're buying the releases,
it also should have been something that was advertised ahead of time.
Yep.
I seriously, if I wouldn't have been leaning against this door where this sheet of like 8x12 or 8.5x11 paper was up, I probably would have never noticed that, hey, I spent $500, I get this super cool pin. And then it was on some of their like, these are the pins that we have this year. But on the back, they had the three like special ones. They didn't really say how you get most of them. So it was just really
The pin situation has been terrible from start to finish. I know we try not to be like outright negative about Privateer Press, and there are lots of good things about Privateer Press, but everything about how Privateer Press has done their pins from day one has been a case study in the worst possible way to do convention-specific swag. And they have 100 other conventions they could have studied and learned how this stuff works. Like, look at the fucking stuff that the Penny Arcade Convention PAX does.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking do exactly what PAX does, but do it with your pins. Do exactly what PAX does.
I actually it was really funny that you bring up Penny Arcade specifically, because the friends I was staying with, I was showing them some of the things I had picked up, and they're like, oh, is this, how does that whole thing work? Or I had vented about the $500 price point on the silly pin, and he had specifically brought up how Penny Arcade does their pins as a much better way to do that process.
Yep. How do they do their process?
There's a specific one every year at every PAX event. So there's like three PAX events now instead of just one. But each one of the ones you go to has a convention specific. And I don't remember if it's pins or patches, but they have a swag.
I'm pretty sure it's just pins.
I think it's pins.
They're the same quality.
And it's like, if you shop at the store at the convention, you get it. Did you spend $5? Great. Did you spend $10? Great. Did you spend $3,000? Great. You get a pin because you were here. And the only reason that you have to buy something is because they want you to go through the line so they don't just have a box of pins where somebody takes them all and then gives them to their friends. Yep. It's literally, you came through and purchased. Great. Here's a pin. You want to go wait in the 2-hour line again and buy $5 more stuff? Great. Here's a pin. Don't care. If you're dedicated enough to wait in line for 3 hours for your friends, great. Get 30 pins. Wait in line for 90 hours. We couldn't possibly care less. They have price points attached to it for Privateer Press. They don't tell you about it. It's not well communicated. So a lot of the pins, the only way to get them is to trade with a staffer. And what they don't tell you is the staffers have one of each of those chase pins each day of the convention. Some of them don't remember to bring them with them. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't display them. And you have to walk up to a convention staffer who's busy working at a fucking convention and say, I want to trade for your pin. And then not only that, you have to have a pin that they don't have on them. And
you
if they
have a pin on you.
You have to have a pin on you in the first place. It has to be a pin they don't have. And what really pisses me off is at Gen Con last year, a couple of the staffers, and I'm not going to name names, but a couple of the staffers kept all their pins in their pockets so that only the people they liked and were friends with would walk up to them and say, I know you're a staffer, even though you're not wearing a Privateer Press shirt, even though you have no pins on you, I'll bet you have some of the chase pins, right? They're like, oh yeah, just for my friends, man. You got a shitty pin? You want to trade me for a chase pin? And I saw one of them do that, and I wanted to punch him in his fucking face. Because
see,
that is horseshit.
Yeah. That's just not good.
And that's not even everything they did wrong with pins, but that's...
I think that was my biggest gripe out of the whole convention. Yeah. Overall, it wasn't bad. I mean, obviously it's a smaller convention because it is one company specific. They're not catering to hundreds of thousands of people like Gen Con, which is like my typical convention experience.
Sure.
I will say that some of the people there who were not staffers, but just regular attendees were... Some were questionable. Some were really cool. I had some people approach me. And there was just, during the keynote speech, and I don't want to bring up the keynote speech because everyone else has a really bad opinion.
No, it's fine.
I had a, I won't even call him a gentleman, who must have been like 6'5 and like 400 pounds stand in front of me as little like 5'5 person. And I'm like, okay, this was really cool. I wanted to watch this. Thanks a lot. I mean, like, and then I was across the line somewhere from someone who was obviously wearing a My Little Pony t-shirt. And that's just like, when I see bronies, I'm just like, oh my God, what is this? Where am I?
You can hope he's an ironic brony where he's making, but you know,
there's no such thing as an ironic
brony. Yeah, if he's got those like little.
Ironic bronies are closet bronies. Who can't
admit it? I don't want to like knock people who watch My Little Pony. There's a difference between I'm an adult and I've watched My Little Pony versus I am a brony. I sleep with my like Rainbow Dash. Like that's, there's very, a level. Well,
why would it be Rainbow Dash? Derpy is best pony.
You shut your mouth.
Its name is Derpy. Come on.
But there, I also noticed there are a lot more women there than any typical War Machine, any event. So that was really cool. It was overall like an okay experience. Beyond that whole, if you spend $500, you get this super cool pin. That's really just a pin.
I understand the gist of like, you spend money, you get this cool thing. But that's a really high price point.
Yeah it is.
That's a little ridiculously high. Even from the point of view of people have to,
flying out.
You're flying to Rocket. I mean, obviously every con some people fly to, but it, like the Midwest cons, you have a much higher percentage of driving just because it's a Midwest and some people can drive to, but like, fucking coast, you know, people are going to have to drive.
Yeah.
Last year, one of the purchase only chase pins was the one that came with the Cephalix box, which I believe was $250 or $300.
Well, but
I'm not done.
Yeah.
They sold out before they were 2 hours into the line the first day.
Yeah.
And you couldn't say, hey, I'll here's my money. Can I have one tomorrow? Because like we can't guarantee how many we have. You'll have to wait in line again if you want the pin.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Recommendations?
Recommendations. Start
not
with Ethan.
Waiting in line.
I need time.
I need time. I have a movie, but I can't remember the name of it. Oh, Predestination.
Predestination.
Yeah, it's like a time travel movie with Ethan Hawke, and it's all about like parallels and what's the word I'm looking for?
Is it in theaters? Is it rental?
No, it's rental. It's a few years old.
All right.
Shit. There's a word I'm looking for, like
precog. I don't
know. No, conundrums in time. What's that called? A paradox.
Paradox.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to see that movie. From now on, conundrums in time.
From now on,
Ethan Hawke and The Rock.
It's really good.
Conundrums in time.
It's really a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it's got a lot of twists. Got a lot of paradoxes. I really liked it.
Nice.
I'm stuck in conundrum.
Yeah, thanks for putting me on the spot like that.
Jeez, Brian. I'll go next. I'm sure it's already been recommended, but I recommend Overwatch 1,000%.
No, you have to recommend Overwatch with me. That's the
every Overwatch time on I've the been, PC.
No one wants God to play. Damn it. No one wants to play with me. First of all, I play on the PC, but no one wants to play with me.
Oh man, I got played the game today as Symmetra, and it was the best moment of my life.
That's amazing,
Jeremy. You're better than your brothers.
That's not setting the bar high.
I didn't say it was.
It's something.
I'm better than a few other people I can name, which is also not setting the bar high.
Yeah.
But anyway, play Overwatch. It's really good. Blizzard, as it turns out, makes really solid games in any genre.
Surprise, surprise.
Spoiler alert. It's really fun.
That's really surprising.
And addicting. And I'm bad at it, but I enjoy it anyway.
I'm the best fair.
And whenever I play Torbjorn, I'm probably going to get to play the game.
is that hard?
No. Nope.
All right, Amanda?
My recommendation is giving me money so I can move to Seattle because I had a really great time out there.
It's a great city.
I actually, I just...
Do you like rain?
I do enjoy not 90-degree weather and not negative 30-degree weather, so Wisconsin is a terrible place for me.
You know, yeah, I hear we you. Have a lot of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now in this room, we have a lot of those. We have at least one of those right now in this room.
No, I mean, all in all, like I would recommend just visiting if you've got the opportunity. Went to some really cool places, did a lot of the like standard touristy things and some of the not so standard touristy things. Just a nice place to be, and I am upset that I don't live there.
Yeah, I like
any Seattle. Place. Like I every time I've been to San Diego, I love it so much. Like it's my place. I've been to a few times and just love it.
You know, I grew up there, right?
I'm sure if I lived there, I would hate it eventually.
I mean, I lived there.
Yeah,
well, yeah. So
you got that going against it. Yeah. I will never again live anywhere that is amazing as to live as. I technically lived in Poway, and I lived in San Diego when I was young, but I lived in Poway when I was older. I'll never again live anywhere that's as cool as Poway. Like I just won't. like, I'm just resigned to that fact. The people are, by and large, a lot of them are shitheads. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I only hang out with probably 30 people in Madison, and I can find 30 people in Poway that aren't shitheads, and then it doesn't matter that the other 1,000 billion are shitheads.
So you're saying we're replaceable.
You are not replaceable. You are one in a million.
He's one in a million. You are one in 7 billion people on the
planet. Yep. And there are also a few other billion people who think they're as unique as you.
6,800 or something is the number of people who are out there.
Yes, 6,800 people. That's
if I'm one in a million, right?
Yeah, roughly, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but I've probably only met a few of those 6,800.
Yeah,
that's true, and you were his favorite of those.
Yeah, that's something.
I was going to recommend something ridiculously awful and politicky. But I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
So I'm gonna avoid that whole realm.
I kind of want it.
No,
but it's Nathan's birthday. Yeah,
it is Nathan's birthday. Like, you have to do it in honor of him.
Yeah, maybe just stop killing people. But no, you know, let's just stop it. That's a side recommendation. You can ignore it because, you know, you're idiots. I'm gonna recommend.
Well, they're clearly listening to us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there's not really a parallel there, but there's, you know,
a
crossover. There's
a lot of crossover. It's a large Venn diagram.
Yeah, it's definitely.
We can map it out almost like that map somebody made for Desters.
They made a map for how Desters work. The Venn diagram of how you can make Desters useful.
Did you charge? Did you assault? Did you kill it? Did you not? Did you quick work?
Nice. I'm going to recommend a PS4 game. Uncharted 4. I've been playing that. I'm only 10 or 12 chapters into it, but I'm really enjoying it. I've always enjoyed all the Uncharted games.
I'm going to ask you a question about this because it came up. There is a trophy for beating it in under 6 hours.
Yeah.
Is it a game that you can beat in roughly that time frame?
Games like that, like Uncharted, I usually take me between probably 12 and 15 hours to beat. So... But it's all about the story. And then if you wanted to get the achievements, because you have to go and collect all the treasures, now take a long time. If you just like ran like a maniac through all the maps, maybe. But I saw that achievement for 6 hours. Like, man, that's
you're not even enjoying the game.
I don't think that's a good achievement.
No, that's like along the lines of like the Blizzard speedrun, where you have to like the achievement they have every season. That's like,
yeah,
beat the entire game in an hour.
But I don't know how many chapters there are in the game. I'm trying to obviously save spoilers because the whole point of playing Uncharted is either A, it's good gameplay, and B, it's good story. So yeah. I'm trying to.
No,
but fine. I did see that achievement existed, and I was like, eh. You know, because I mean, if I beat the game in 10 hours, I mean, that'd be a little unfortunate in my first playthrough. Because I play pretty slow. I don't try to hunt all the treasures down, but I'm looking around, and there's some open areas in this game more than some of the other games and stuff. And I'm probably already at 4 to 6 hours already. Okay. And I'm only at chapter, you know, I think chapter 12, maybe chapter 10. So between 10 and 12, I'm somewhere in there. I'm playing so much Overwatch that I only play maybe a chapter a night every so often. Every other night I play a chapter of.
He's not a barbarian, so he plays on his PC.
Yeah,
so rude.
Like filthy console peasants.
Like an adult.
I spend all day working at a PC at work. I do not want to come home and just feel like my life is being given to a computer.
I want to play a high quality video game, so I play on the PC.
That's a fair point.
Now I do like my PS4. I have a stack of
PS4.
I'm about to start in the next month. I'm about to play Fallout 4 with all the new DLCs, and I'm going to play it on the survival mode, and it's going to be heaven. It's going to take me like the rest of the year to do, and it's going to be Fallout's are the best games in the world. And there's Elder Scrolls Enhanced coming out for the PS4 now. It's going to be addicting.
The Skyrim reboot, pretty much.
But I played so many hours of Skyrim, though. I don't know if I'm going to care because I've played so many hours. It's like some of these games, like when they redo them, I'm like, it's neat to play, but man, when you've already put in 300 hours,
depends on how they overhaul it. Like there was a lot of things they could have fixed, a lot of new spells, stuff like that.
And with a mod, they'll be moddable on the console, which is cool.
Like some of those mods for Skyrim, they look
phenomenal. Mods for Fallout are coming out on the PS4 this month, which is pretty exciting. And
I did notice you can get mods on console now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When I played Skyrim, I accidentally beat it and then stopped because that's just my relationship with games.
That's what I did too. Katie and I were so pissed when we accidentally beat it.
Yep.
We were wandering the whole world and then all of a sudden I was like, congratulations, you beat me. We were like, oh, well, I guess we're done.
Yeah, it's super great.
But there's so much more to do.
I know, but when I get done, I killed the dragon, so let's go.
There's no like some overlooming threat in the background.
I personally did not enjoy Skyrim to the level that everyone else does.
I think I literally didn't leave my house for a few days.
It was the one game that got me into that Elder Scrolls series. Like, I did not like Morrowind.
This is really exciting. Resident Evil 7 was announced.
Oh. First of all, I would fight anyone to say who's a big Resident Evil fan. Resident Evil 6 was so questionably bad that it's hard to be excited for 7 unless they've rehired a whole new staff. I mean, I want 7 to be the best game in the world, but I've seen 6.
Resident Evil 4 was probably the last real good one. I enjoyed 5.
I played 5 co-op from start to finish, so I enjoyed it. My first experience with playing with a friend, I've heard if you play solo, you lose a little bit, but I didn't have that experience. I played with a friend online, and that was a ton of fun. Also, I found that the Dead Space games have almost replaced my joy of survival horror games. I loved it. If they remastered all the Dead Space games on a PS4, I'd play them again and again and again. Some of the only game. Typically, I'm kind of like you said, you play a game, you beat it, I throw it in the trash, I'm done. But certain games, I can just play infinite. It's a very, very small percentage, maybe like 2% of everything I play, where some guys can play a game, 100, all their games I can play again and again. I'm not that guy.
Dragon Age.
But for me...
Yeah, that's my response.
Damn.
Resident Evil 4 in 7. VR, January 24th, 2017. Yeah, oh, Resident Evil 7, Lord. I'm sorry. Yes. Talking about 4?
Yeah. I have beat Resident Evil 4 on so many... I played that first on the Wii. Playing Resident Evil 4 on the Wii was one of the best experiences I've ever done.
Resident Evil VR.
If it's as good as 4 in VR, I may have to change my pants a lot.
Awesome.
Wear your brown pants. Just wear your brown pants.
Brian, a recommendation.
Yeah, a quick one for me is just like, I'm going to try and take a different approach, or not a different approach, but here's the approach I'm going to take to Mark 3, and I guess I'd recommend it. Not that I know better than anyone else, but I think this is good.
No, you do. You're on a podcast. You know.
You're clearly more enlightened than the people who are listening.
That is how it works. I did get my first place win for the first time in the last few weeks.
Congrats.
Just had to seal club some nub at 75
points. Well, fuck you. Gareth couldn't hit 3 boosted 9s to win that game.
Anyway.
So my Mark 3 list, like, trial is going to be, I'm going to play one caster, the same exact list, at least 5 times before I tweak the list. And then I'll tweak it and play it 5 more times again. That's going to be like my algorithm for figuring out if I like what I'm doing or if it's just something that
I think it's a little bold, but if it works for
you... That's basically what I did with Virus 2.
Well, I mean, I think you should pick a caster playlist, but I think with being a new edition, I think you want to tweak a list a little bit more than that. But I mean, if that's what works for you, I think
it's going to work out all right for me. In the end, it's going to get me to hone in on what the problems are after 5 games, just 5 games straight.
Well, do you really need 5? Because like you said, you played that Karchev game that first time. You're like, God, I really want Widowmakers.
If it's a blatant mistake, like not taking range 14 guys that can auto-kill things to trigger Road to War, then that's... Sure, I'll change it then. But if it's like... But these tweaks here and there, those are the ones...
Yeah, like the support loadout. Play a list against somebody, and you might lose. Be like, well, that list was... I mean, in a tournament, I would never do that matchup. So you want a few games that would be realistic examples before you can really make it.
Yeah.
And it's never bad to play into a bad matchup just to see the list's weaknesses.
Yeah, Cephalex into Kane 2, don't throw your models away. It's not a horrible game, but...
Yeah, I'm going to have to start like rolling 2d6 to figure out which fucking list to play in Mark 3. Because like, I have decision constipation already for Wednesday. I'm like, man, I want to play all of my lists.
Yeah, Wednesday.
I'm going to take the gym approach and just roll
2d6. People are going to have fun Wednesday. I bet people will be playing games for the weekend.
People are going to have fun finding a table.
That will
be a problem.
I'm gonna try to get there early on.
If you get there early on Wednesday, just space it out and make sure those fucking role player fucks just have their little corner. Don't let them spread out. Fucking
well, do you think we could double fucks. Stack the tables if we really needed two boards on one?
We
of the
could.
Tables?
Yeah,
you could just like bunk bed.
There's so many. I mean, it's just really if we have to, we'll go that route. But usually, you want to keep one per just because.
Usually,
there's so many people.
Yeah, it gets really cramped. Tables, I know it gets so cramped. And if you need to move,
we want
to
avoid
not a good. It's not good. Not a good way
for a butt. If you have them stacked on one.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Are we coming down Wednesday? I know Andy wanted to. Not your Andy, our Andy.
We'll figure it out. But I think that about wraps up 163 then.
Yeah. And so we're sorry we went so long.
We forgot to press record.
Most of the zappities we did end up hitting anyways.
Yeah, we did. So I looked through.
Oh, if we missed, there's a few that we might hit up next time. Yep. But that's it.
Some of us won't be here next time because I'll never be invited back again.
I think as a reminder, next time is the 26th, right? Correct?
Does that mean something to somebody?
No. Okay. That was just, I think, what Andy had posted.
Oh, we're not going to record it the 20th. Yeah, because there's not going to be a podcast this coming Sunday, I don't think. It's going to be the...
Next one is Sunday. The 26th. I don't know.
Andy won't be here, but there's no reason Kirk couldn't record it again.
Well, Brian, we've
replaced Andy.
We may or may not record next Sunday.
You'll find out.
Just tune in Sunday.
I'm going to kill it.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.